welcome to another episode of If Lance Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
This is Hot Potato.
And this is episode 116?
God, I don't know.
117, probably.
Oh, fuck, that burp smells so bad. God damn it, sauce.
118.
It's just Gatorade,
and
beer,
and
McDonald's,
dick,
and Thai food,
oh,
and
God, that's
Ritz
what
crackers,
and potatoes.
Whole unsalted potatoes.
See, you're doing it wrong.
That's an Irish apple.
I just don't know what I'm doing.
We'll talk later.
Yeah, well, I'm learning.
I have a very important question for you guys.
Do it.
And I appreciate it if, you know, we just cut the jokes out, and all joking aside, that you have two choices of what you can do. It's not a tough decision, as you can see. I can blow you away. You can ride with me. No, seriously, do you say AT-AT or do you say AT-AT?
AT-AT.
AT-AT.
Of course.
No matter what.
Yeah. Anybody who says AT-AT, I want to take a knife and I want to cut their Achilles heel and then...
The tendon.
Push them down a flight of stairs into a big
push
bowl.
Them down an escalator.
Yeah.
And then it's going like... Yeah.
But it's going like way faster.
And so it keeps up the perfect momentum.
Yeah, it skins their knees.
Like you have researched the rate of fall, tumbling of a human being, 180
pounds,
like
barrel
whatever,
rolls.
And like, you do that and the speed is constant, so it's forever rolling.
They're caught in
a... Until power runs out in the universe, the person will roll forever.
Exactly.
Dead or alive.
That's the ancient Chinese method of torture, and... I just thought that we should talk about, because certain people call it AT-AT, and it pisses me off to no end. I don't know why.
You mean AT-AT.
Yes, I'm sorry. AT-AT. They go AT-AT.
That's retarded.
Well, they have
like a half-tard. Why would you say AT-AT?
Here's another one. They have the AT-ACT or something like that, right? They have the other one that has, like, the fucking cargo thing in it.
AT-ST?
No, the AT, like, ACT or whatever. It's the one from the newest movie that has, like, the orange part on the side of it or whatever that has, like, extra cargo thing in it.
Okay.
So I think that one's like an
isn't it an acronym
like
anyways? Isn't it fucking?
I'm sure it's like
all
terrain.
Yeah,
all terrain.
Yeah. So it's not technically no matter what.
Yeah,
it's not AT-AT. It is AT-AT.
Yes.
It's an acronym. It's not a fucking. It's not two words together. It's
well, you can still say acronyms. As
I know,
a word. But not in the Star Wars universe. You can't. That is no.
Yeah. There's actually they had a galactic ban on acronyms, and the Mothers Against Drunk Flying were very upset about it. Yeah. Mad.
Mothers Against Drunk. Yeah. MADF.
Mads,
there you go.
Yeah. Mad. They were really mad.
She was a mad.
Mad motherfuckers.
Yeah. Anyways, so this...
So speaking of torture,
yeah.
I found out there's an ancient torture thing that I think... I don't know what it came from. I think it was a Chinese thing or something like that.
It's always...
Where it's literally just...
Always Chinese.
It's like a
they're
fucking...
They're like the best at
it's a huge spike, and okay. It just like, you know, it starts off as a little pin size, and it progressively gets like bigger and bigger and bigger, right? And they just literally put it into a person's butt, and they have them like...
That, they did, not, they did for, not invent that.
What's that?
Chinese didn't invent that.
Well, I don't know who invented it. Who invented it?
Vlad the Impaler.
Okay, well,
well he
go.
Was at least most known for it.
That's good, then. It's just like, yeah, that spike
Vlad
is
the Impaler
just,
is,
what is the spike
Dracula,
called?
Is vampire himself. That's,
what is the spike called?
It's
not a,
a pike.
It's called the
spike.
The anal spike?
Yeah. But he just goes forever. And it's
so
just like...
They just have
yeah,
a post on the ground. He'd put them on their asshole onto the fucking spike post, and they'd be alive. And they'd sit there for days slowly sliding the spike
into their
asshole.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Until they died. And they'd be outside the fortress walls as a warning, don't fuck with my castle. That was Vlad the Impaler.
That's
history.
Sexy.
And it was fucked up.
I want to be his bitch.
Oh my God.
I want to be one of his
like a concubine.
Classy, yeah, I want to be one of his
like your asshole's
ladies.
Gaping enough that you would never die from that? It would just like slide up and down?
Yeah, just go right out my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I'd be fine.
Like a
yeah,
rotisserie.
Like hentai.
Yeah. Like hentai. It's exactly like that.
Tentacle porn.
Yeah, my fucking intestines are like a straight shot. It's really weird. I'm like a really unique person. I don't have it doesn't have to like pierce through anything.
You'd be great for the human centipede.
It's like from my mouth to my anus. It's not like the whole fucking 700 yards of intestines
it's
and all kinds of
shit.
It's
straight 6 inches
of
diameter.
It's straight up just, yeah, it's like, exactly. It's like 4 inches wide and it's like 2.5 feet and that's the end of it. That's me. It's crazy. So I eat something and it's like, where's the bathroom? Because, like, my anus
well,
has
would,
to hold
no,
all
well, you have to feel your sphincter wouldn't constrict. It would just go in your mouth and fall out of your asshole like you're a ghost or something. Like, it wouldn't
well,
be...
He,
no, I have, like, special muscles.
Like,
I'm not, like, so unhuman.
Like, half of his body energy is dedicated to keeping his sphincter closed. And that's why he,
I'm so skinny. Because you burn calories like crazy.
So can you fit this Arizona iced tea can in your ass?
Yeah, that's way smaller than four.
Yeah,
inches.
Don't.
That's like 2.5 inches, bro. That's wow. Like, that's like okay. That's like 2 inches.
I'm just trying to give. Like, I'm trying to get a visual.
I bet you that's like
listeners.
two and a quarter inches.
You're insulting the man.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like.
Well, look, I'm just impressed, and it's hard to imagine.
That's
I haven't
child's
seen your,
play.
I haven't seen your asshole. I've seen your dingleberries, not your actual asshole.
Dingleberries. I got like some crumbs. I don't got like dingleberries.
Well, I mean, like
poo crumbs, like, dude. It happens.
Yeah, poo crumbs on a human like may as well be like large elephant turd dingleberries.
Like to an ant for sure.
Yeah, but
like
so like you compared to an elephant, like those dingleberries are like by comparison.
So speaking
of, are we a magic podcast?
I don't know. Speaking of shitty things, I'm gonna go into what I've done in the past couple weeks because
bummer.
We had a little backup of just stuff, and so we had to miss last week, and so I took advantage of the Steam summer sale. Okay. Let's
you say shitty things, and I see what you got on the screen there. I'm gonna be like disappointed for you if you didn't enjoy the game.
So,
well, get ready to be disappointed.
So, I didn't take advantage of the Steam Summer Sale. It took advantage of me because it raped me for all my monies, and I was able to buy actually a lot of cool games. I think I talked about it maybe last time I was on the cast, but
we'll talk about the games that you've played since buying, since purchasing.
Most recently. I've had my eye on this game for quite some time. I've probably talked about it on the podcast. It was called 1001 Spikes. And it is a very simplistic in concept game to where you have 1001 lives to complete, I don't know, let's say 100 levels. But the thing about this game, there was a video a long time ago called, what was it, the hardest game ever, or that Mario...
Impossible game, or
the
whatever.
The most impossible game ever, or something like that.
Flappy Bird?
No, it was like a Mario knockoff. So if you're familiar with that, it's very much like that. But these levels are just very dickish. Like, you go, and it's all like 8-bit, old-school, side-scrolling fun. And you go jump on a platform, and then all of a sudden, a spike comes up after a second and kills you.
So, like, you're not aware of it. It's like the game is abusing it. It's not like something that you could see the spike going up before. It's like triggered from you entering the area.
Exactly.
So that next time around, now you know it's there. You have to remember on your own.
Like you're,
so on and so
like
forth.
You're always going to die finding out what's there.
Right.
So I died one time. Okay, cool. I know I can only spend like 1.5 seconds on that pedestal, and then I have to jump off. And then that's like how the whole game is. It sounds horrible. Like, who would want to do that? It sounds frustrating.
No, it's not the first game that's done this, though.
Yeah, exactly. But it does remind me of the NES games I played back in the day where you had to remember, like, patterns. Or even go as far as, Mike Tyson's Super Punch-Out for the SNES. There were certain patterns you could do to knock the guys out super quick, you know, and get, like, the lowest time record or whatever. And so you'd have to, like, you know, wait 1 second, dodge to the left, right, left to the stomach, you know, and you have to remember this pattern. And so this is what this game kind of reminds me of, where it's like, okay, I have to, like, that swinging fucking chain ball is going to fuck me in the ass, so I have to wait.
Wow.
It goes from side to side every
came
four...
Came in like a wrecking ball,
it's
huh?
NC-17, yeah, it's crazy.
It goes back and forth every 4 seconds, so I have to, like, count out
it's
one,
not even a game rating, by the way,
two, three, four, and then jump, and then go down, and it's just very reminiscent of those old-school games like that. And so I was able to stream one night. It was, like, midnight, and I was like, you know what? This is, like, the perfect game to stream. Not so much that it's, like, fun to watch, but it's more fun to watch me fucking...
Do you do audio?
Yes.
Okay.
He did visual as well this time.
Yeah, I actually...
That's impossible. You don't like that, so that's not...
I know.
Believe it.
But
I'm so happy you did.
I feel like this is the exact sort of game that needs that, though, because half the entertainment is just from me getting
watching
frustrated.
Watching the
reaction,
yeah.
Frustration, okay.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, perfect.
Ready to rage quit.
This looks very innocuous, and then boom, a bat comes out of nowhere and fucking bites my head off, and I'm like, what the fuck? So anyways, I was able to stream, and I think...
I loved it, like, 1 o'clock in the morning...
Yeah.
You have, like, no viewers.
Of course.
But you text me at 1 o'clock in the morning like it's nothing. Because people, like, most people are like, oh, yeah. After, like, 8, 9, 10 o'clock, you're like, you only text other people. You think they're probably sleeping by that point. You text me 1 o'clock in the morning knowing I'm awake.
Yeah, of course.
To which I respond right away.
If anybody was going to be awake and willing to watch the stream, it was going to be you.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was, so I tuned in. I guess you'd already been, like, streaming for, like, an hour at that point or 45 minutes, something like that.
Something like that.
And yeah, so watching you play was just great. I'm sitting there talking to him as well on the little chat and enjoying watching the salt factor because he's like concentrating on the game and like half reading the chat when he gets after he dies and whatnot. So I'm like laughing at him on how he's dying and the reaction he's getting from his deaths. And it was a definitely fun game to watch you play. Mostly because I had even wrote to you like I was just happy to watch you die. It was great.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the entertaining part of that game, or at least it would be for me, to kind of like half watch what's going on the screen, but also just like hear the commentary and to see the salt factor on the person's face, which was amazing. And I did eventually rage quit at one point where I had passed all the difficult parts of...
Let's give a description of this level, because you played this level for about 45 minutes.
I probably died 100 times.
Probably at least 100 times, about 45 minutes on this one level.
And, I mean, I was like...
And it was a very difficult level. Like, to give you credit, it was definitely a hard level from what I've seen you play.
And that, yeah,
there was a lot of tough things to it, and timing. And
it was the hardest level I'd played thus far. And, yeah, I had gotten past all the tricky areas and all the booby traps, and all I had to do was backtrack to the exit, and I knew nothing was going to stand in my way.
Except for one small square gap hole. Like, it's like the smallest jump will get you over it as long as you just jump correctly.
Yeah, there's no trick to it. I'd already been past it. I knew exactly what to expect. And I just jumped too early and jumped and fucking died in the only place I could.
Because you're so excited by it because you came across like this, oh, I could have got this one up life right there. Like, oh, never mind, screw it. That's a fool's gold. That's fool's gold. Quote.
That was pretty good.
I was like saying, that's for fools. And then I jumped way too soon and just go directly in the hole as if on purpose, which was... And then I just...
It was on purpose. It was not on purpose.
And I immediately dropped the controller and just rip out my headphones and I had to walk away.
To that point, I was watching on Twitch, so I screened, clipped it for him and posted it to our Flans to Kill account. So if you want to watch his rage quit and how hilarious it was, it's much more funny after watching him do his level for 45 minutes.
Is it on Twitter or Facebook?
On Twitter.
Okay. Good.
For 45 minutes, watching Trevi's level, he's like gonna beat it right then, and then he just fucks up that royally, and then rage quits. So you're only gonna get the last 30 seconds of that, but check it out on our Twitter. It's fucking goddamn funny.
And it's not like there's save points within these episodes. You start at the beginning of the fucking. Did I say episode?
Yeah, but we got it.
Level.
We're good.
Yeah, level. And you start at the beginning of the level every time, so yeah.
Redo every time to vent and everything that you're trying to dodge.
So it was very frustrating.
You like
but
the game, though.
I love the fucking game, I am in love with it. And it's a love-hate thing, and I accept that. Some other games I was able... I did talk about some of the other games I got. I ended up getting a Grand Theft Auto 3-pack for like $9, and it was Grand Theft Auto 3, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, and Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Which, I mean, I'm kind of bummed that I couldn't find Grand Theft Auto 2 because that would have like rounded out the best of collection of Grand Theft Autos for me.
I played the shit out of GTA 2 when I was younger.
Like, yeah, it was
shit out of that game.
It was amazing. And I would say like Grand Theft Auto 3 is probably up there in the top 10 games of all time to me. Just because coming from GTA 2, it's like very bird's eye view, not, you know, 3D in the least. But it's the first time as a kid you're like, oh my god, I'm playing a game where I'm like killing people and dealing drugs and getting hookers. And it's like blowing your tiny little mind. And then once it came to 3D in Grand Theft Auto 3, it was just like my brain exploded. You know, and so that game just made such an impression on me. That's why I get hookers now.
You know, I never had a console that... I never had a PlayStation 2, or original Xbox. I missed that whole generation.
Wow.
I had an N64, really? And I went straight to Xbox 360. So I missed a lot of shit. No Dreamcast, no fucking GameCube.
Well, you didn't
miss much
with the Dreamcast.
Either way, GameCube.
I still have my Dreamcast, and the games I had, I actually really enjoyed. I mean,
you don't
I
like Crazy Taxi?
Failed,
I'm pretty sure Crazy Taxi is pretty awesome.
I just remember my one friend. You know, he was kind of like, his parents were more well-off than the rest of us. And he was just, like, bragging that, like, he got the Dreamcast on, like, day one or whatever. It was, like, rubbing it in our faces. And then, like, you know, like, 6 months later, it's like, yeah, this fucking thing sucks ass. Crazy Taxi was the best thing about it. Maybe Soul Calibur, you know, but...
Soul Calibur. There's that Power Gem game. I don't know if you guys ever played that one, but that was, like, it was a fighting game that you would be able to, like, get these Power Gems and level up, and that was a really fun one.
No idea.
Yeah. There was, like, a Sonic game that was kind of like a Mario
Party.
That
fucking thing sucked balls.
You didn't like the Sonic board game?
Nah.
One? I thought it was pretty good. I don't know, there was some, not by any means a fan dream cast. There's a reason it failed, but I still own a few games on there that are actually pretty fun to play.
So I also picked up Middle-Earth Shadow of Mordor, which I haven't played. I heard it was good. Jersey talked about it. I mean, So and Crow talked about it a lot when he got it. And
he loves it.
Yeah.
I do. I understand why some people have some things wrong with it. I was surprised that with the announcement of the next one coming out, I didn't really realize a lot of people actually have a lot of hatred towards the game for certain reasons of things, which I had no idea about because I didn't see that viewpoint of it. So like, if you're, we'll see what you have to just say about what you feel about it. But I don't know. In general, I love the game. As far as like, cause you go from like a game like Assassin's Creed that's so clunky, like the climb of a wall. I was just so impressed that this thing was just so smooth doing that. And it's the type of game where, yes, there's a hack and slash factor to it, but there's a lot of RPG factors as well to it, and different styles of things and how to defeat enemies. And the Nemesis system is just so impressive to me that I probably give it a higher rank than a lot of people, other people do.
I believe that, like, any review I've ever read said the Nemesis system was, like, the reason to play the game, basically, yeah. So.
Yeah, and I got it for $4. I haven't played it yet, but it's like,
oh, because you haven't played it yet.
How, like, pissed am I going to be,
yeah.
You know? I did end up buying Dragon Age Inquisition, because I previously talked about downloading for free Dragon Age Origins, which was the previous game in the series.
It's not as good as Dragon Age Thoughtseize. But I mean, there's less, you know, you don't lose life. Start off, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
I know, but
I mean, you might not hit anything.
But there's only
know.
Three levels to the game, yeah. So.
Yeah, they could have all lands.
Yeah.
You don't know.
So,
had me for a second.
So I realized why I just can't fall in love with RPG games like Dragon Age or Skyrim or anything like that. It's because I have been ruined by the big, delicious dick of World of Warcraft. I mean, that game just fucked me so good, and I had to quit it. It was a love-hate thing where it's like, yeah, fuck me good, but you're pretty expensive and taking up a lot of my time, like any good fuck.
Why is it too expensive? Just the monthly thing?
Monthly payments, but I just mean like expensive as in time-wise and dedication to actually play a well-played character. And so, you know, I stopped playing in 2009. But, like, ever since then, I haven't been able to really fully enjoy games.
You've gone back, though, haven't you? A little bit here and there?
God, stop burping.
Why?
Fuck, it smells so bad.
Come on, man.
So I haven't really gone back. I played the, like, little intro, like, you know, free level 1 through 20 sort of thing.
Yeah.
Just to, like, see how the new leveling system works. And it's... The talent tree, I've talked about it numerous times, is horrible, so I was like, well, I'm definitely not going back, you know, now. So anyways, I realized, because I was playing this game, and it was grabbing me, but not, like, fully getting me there, and then that's when I realized, like, nothing's gonna beat World of Warcraft. That was just such, at the time I played it, which was right after the first, or I played the vanilla, and then for the next two expansions, that was just, like, in my opinion, it was the best time for World of Warcraft, and it's just spoiled me for other games. I think the only game that really could even compare, like in the same ballpark, was that Star Wars MMO, Knights of the Old Republic. I mean, it wasn't as good as World of Warcraft, but just because the game was so well done, and it was in the Star Wars universe, so it was just... You know, got me immediately, but...
I mean, I don't know how to say get over it to you, because I never played WoW. I played the fuck out of the original three World War... it's not World of Warcraft. Excuse me, the original three Warcrafts. 1, 2, and 3, and all the expansions of those were. I played a fucking shitload of those in LAN parties and all that shit. Never played WoW because of the monthly thing, and at that point, I came out as probably, what, 12, 13, and then I didn't have my own money to fucking pay a monthly thing, and I didn't want to ask my mom for it. Never got into WoW. And I kind of, like, that was, like, my original stance of, like, hating, like, pay-for-play games and to continue to pay for it. Which then eventually led into, like mobile app games where you had to, like, pay for energy and things like that that are just bullshit. That was, like, my first protest of a stance. Like, I'm not paying monthly shit to play this game. You fucking already buy it for $60. Like, fuck you. Like, but, so I can't say I don't have any, knowledge of WoW. But, dude, you're missing out on some, a lot of other good games, because if you can't get over how good WoW was to play the other ones, you're
just
missing out on some
just
really
let
good shit.
Just let them be it.
Well,
be it.
I'm trying to play these other games, and I'm enjoying them, but not... It's like, you know, once you have the best fuck of your life, even though it's
he went to the moon, bro. What do you do when you get back from the moon?
I'm kind of having the same like block on when it comes to Fallout 4. Like Fallout New Vegas to me was just the tits. I fucking loved New Vegas so much, and like the subtle changes that they made to Fallout 4, like I absolutely hate the fucking the guns and upgrading the guns rather than coming across good guns and shit and that, all that style. I like to get to build your own bases and things like that. There's a lot of things about the game I love, but for some reason I just can't get past it. I haven't been able to play it. And as it came out, I pre-ordered it and bought the season pass. So I have everything there is for the game, and I have nowhere near beating it. And it bugs me. I want to play the game. Yeah. I love the Fallout series. I love Skyrim, and it's weird. So I get what you're coming from. So for me, I'm missing on Fallout 4. You're missing on a bunch of other games,
though. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to get past it. I'm seeing a therapist, and you know, there's some work to be done. But wrapping up my segment, I wanted to talk about some podcasts I've been listening to. I feel like at least podcasts that I enjoy, you know, after Heavy Meta, rest in peace, and the what was the A-Team. Fucking the A-Team.
Rest in peace.
And Brainstorm Brewery.
Now we got like
two members.
Boosh's Modern Life, which
Boosh's no. No sorry, way, Boosh. Dude. That's not.
I mean, cool dude. Props but like,
attempting
no
for
way.
That name.
There's no way.
But not
Rocko's Modern Life and shit.
Not tickling my dingle.
No.
So, anyways, I'm just stuck listening to like Brainstorm Brewery, Fast Finance. I did come across a new podcast called The Win Condition, which is pretty decent. It's two guys just talking about magic. Not like super out there and hilarious. You know, they try and keep it a little more PG than we do. But it's definitely a good listen, and I suggest it. And I did listen. You know, I catch a Magic with Zuby every once in a while. And on this last one, he was talking about like the beginnings of how to play Dungeons & Dragons, like setting up a new character and all that stuff. And I've always had like questions, but I've never been like interested enough to like actually talk to anybody or research about it or anything. So just having him do like a brief rundown on kind of how to set up a character and what you do and all that stuff
was pretty good. Then
it's pretty entertaining. And he said, you know, he's kind of gonna maybe throw that in every once in a while, not like whole episodes on it, but just you know, talk about D&D every once in a while since that's what he's kind of getting into. So, you know, if you're interested, I suggest checking that out. But other than that. And also, I'm still listening to, you know, those fucking tryhards, those little fucking queers.
What about the fucking Cool Games, Inc.?
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me of that gem. Hot Sauce had basically said, hey, you might want
to... I shoved it down your fucking throat.
You shoved it down my throat. You're like, hey, this is going to feel good. And Cool Games, Inc., the podcast...
It's by Polygon. If you look at the reviews or their YouTube channel or whatever, you might know them. Griffin McElroy
and something Robinson. And
Travis Allen. I don't know. I don't know the other guy's name. I forget.
So he had suggested this podcast to me, and I mean, he did. He kind of gave me like a brief description about what it was about. So I was listening to it, and I didn't really like know the style of it as I was first listening to an episode.
They jump right in.
Yeah.
Like it's hold on, because they're going to get right into it. It's not subtle at all.
Yeah, it is like
it's fast.
It's fucking lightning round podcast. That's what it is. And basically it's like a fake game design podcast where
fake
do
they make every game.
They make these games?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, man. Just
for the listener, I mean yeah. I mean they make them all and they're Gur 8.
They're all free to play on Steam. Go find them.
So, the listeners send in suggestions like, hey, you should make a Mario game where they all have AIDS. You know, I don't know. Some fucking, some sort of concept.
A lot of them are like puns.
Yeah.
So it'll be like, I have to think of some examples.
The most recent one I listened to today was make a game that's a cross between like a dating kind of Sims game with like a Civilization Age of Empires type of game where you need to like kind of like date other world leaders to gain their friendship and maybe some fucking going on, and then their allies when you go to attack other
people. I got a question as Hosky's, you know, helping out this cast and I listen to it. Are they funny?
They're
so funny.
But it's very...
Without it being funny,
I don't get the fucking point.
It's only funny. Like, if the whole thing is meant to be funny. They're okay. not creating anything.
It's a
for,
farce.
All for the sake of comedy.
Okay.
It literally only it was, be funny.
I haven't listened to it yet, obviously. I was going to say, if it wasn't funny, then, like, I wouldn't want to waste my time getting all this, oh, talking about game knowledge and game design, things that they're
making. It has nothing games. To do with game knowledge.
So
they don't
so
talk like, about new games at all. They don't do any news. They don't do
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, so, okay.
They jump right in, and they're like, all
it's
right,
just, it's
here's
literally,
a suggestion.
It's just a circle jerk of fucking around.
So,
but
you know,
it's funny.
You know the part... before, right before we started this podcast, which I'm going to put in the bloopers of this
yeah,
episode,
yeah.
that's exactly what the entire episode is.
It's exactly
okay.
And it's just...
So I get why Sauce loves it then.
Yeah, I'm sure,
like,
I'm sure
forte.
There's like...
Oh, it's totally my forte.
I'm sure there's heavy editing involved to make it seem like they're just like quick-witted and rapid-fire. And they are, but they just edit it together, so it's just fucking hilarious. I usually listen to it on the way to work, and there's times where I just like howl. Laughing, like I just like.
they're really smart. Like that's just it. They're really witty. They're really smart. They just fucking they put it together, man.
And they do have a lot of knowledge of a lot
so,
of different video
here's
games.
Here's another
as
thing
well.
Too: you can't be a casual video game player to get the cast because the cast explores all video games across like any platform. It just they just go really deep on this shit. If you've never heard of Persona. You know, you've never heard of...
I mean, they were talking about Virtual Boy the
yeah,
other day.
Yeah,
like
you have to make sure you at least understand the concept of all basically all video games, more or less. Like, it goes that far. It goes that deep. So...
And it's...
I'll talk it up, though. I fucking love those guys. This shit is so funny, dude.
It's fast becoming one of my favorite podcasts out there because it's filling that humor spot that I'm really lacking in other like Brainstorm Brewery, yeah. Like their fucking jokes are getting kind of tiring and
like
blah,
ours.
Blah, blah. Like ours, whatever. but they're just like so fucking fast paced and witty. I'm just loving the shit out of it. So I mean
I also their Griffin's laugh is really infectious.
Yeah, when they actually
which is pretty great. When they laugh because they don't really laugh at their own stuff very often.
I think they edit most of it out, but when they do
yeah.
let it
when they
slide.
when they find that nug they light up, dude. It's really funny.
So I almost
I want to be them is the whole point. I
want
to
stop
them.
Recording this podcast right now and just listen to episode after episode of that podcast.
Basically.
So we're just going to stop this episode and here's the episode.
We're going to try to copy them.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to try to copy them like one for one.
I did get that vibe at the beginning of this episode. That's exactly what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, I know that.
Yeah.
I was participating.
Yeah, it was just a non-spoken thing.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So.
Totally happened. We kind of bonded a little bit.
Yeah.
You too.
Our dick stretched.
Yeah, we did.
So that's been it for my week. What's up, guys?
But before you go,
I'm girlfriend.
To step on the you're talking about Steam real
Dude,
quick.
Step,
unless you're, unless
step
you're talking about Steam,
it.
I'm going to bring up Steam. So, I have a game that the If Lance Could Kill podcast all need to purchase.
Go on.
And
Neat.
It's going to be, it's kind of like, I think, I feel like, this is a game that you probably haven't heard of yet. It's
oh,
feel
try,
like.
Oh, try me.
Okay.
I got my big boy pants
okay.
on right now. So
here we go.
Probably not going to know. What's up?
So, like how we have the Charging Badger as our podcast, like, mascot. This is going to be like the game of ilk. It's called Genital Jousting. And if you haven't seen it yet, look it up on
Looking
Steam.
Looking it up right now.
It is in beta. And
of course it is.
It is banned from being streamed on Twitch because it is genital jousting. And I heard, I was watching a streamer, Grimms, stream PUBG, Players Unknown Battlegrounds, because I don't watch a lot of that. And he talked about that, and someone's like, you should stream genital jousting. He's like, I literally want to. I literally can't because it's banned from streaming on Twitch. Because it is literally a bunch of mini games where you play as dicks. And you try to fuck the other dicks and the assholes.
I
want to
see if I know what this is.
And it's...
I do not know what this is.
Gotcha.
You got me. Oh my
You're
god. It's
coming
another
dicks
butt holes. Literally just dicks.
There's a bunch of other mini games and they're all dicks trying to play like soccer. Trying to get play it like you know like Snake where you get bigger as you eat other dicks. You eat the poop out of other dicks.
This game is so
you
ridiculous.
Dick floating in space.
How much is it?
It's $4.99.
It is okay. cheap. That's what I'm saying. I think we all need to buy this game.
You play soccer with dicks.
Sports
or
ball.
Sports ball. That's the podcast by Rooster Teeth called Sports Ball. It's pretty great.
And see, yeah.
Man, there's
yeah, there's a lot.
A wiener roundup.
Oh, you gotta like round
That's
up.
That's like Hungry
dogs.
Hungry Hippos, but for dicks.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great.
And now you're
like
now you're coming everywhere.
Wow,
it's like Splatoon with dicks.
This is fucking awesome. Yeah. Okay, we'll get it. I gotta get it.
Yeah. 100%.
So, like at the end of it, they all fall together. Yeah.
So,
oh, man.
Follow along, and maybe you should join the If Lance and Kill cast of playing Genital Jousting and play us online.
If that episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, where they're building the dick spaceship, if that was a game, this would be that game.
I think we got our episode name, too, by the way.
Go on.
Genital Jousting.
Genital Jousting. I don't want to get kicked off MTG cast like some other...
Genital is not a bad word.
We don't want to pull a... I don't even remember the name of their cast. That's how much
It's like...
Drugs in the name or something?
I don't know,
something...
Dude. It's like...
Hash pipe?
Yeah, something like
Weezer?
That.
Weezer?
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
Get kicked off MTG cast and hash, something like that.
Yeah, like dicks and hash?
I think it's dicks and hash.
Dicks and hash.
Dicks smoke hash.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay,
which doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, I mean, like, most dicks can't fit a joint in their mouth.
Yours can.
And how's it going to breathe dicks. Anyways?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's just, there's so many holes in the story. How do you
hold your pee? Like, if you just do that, like, maybe you can, like,
I had to turn the show off, dude. I can't deal with them.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm constantly disappointed.
So, today.
Again, you turn this genital jousting off.
On the screen. Today, I get home. And my chick is
You're
playing,
welcome, guys, by the way.
We're going to get it. My chick's playing Spyro upstairs.
How many times would you say she's beaten that game?
40 probably or something like that. It's just like her thing.
Yeah.
It's like her, like...
Spyro's
it's just like her...
Spyro's
yeah,
great.
Exactly. It's just like that. It's just her just killing time. It's like her playing a mobile game. Her just, like, reading the same book over or, like, rewatching Family Guy a bunch. Like, it's
she
the
ever,
same thing.
Did she ever play Ratchet & Clank?
No. She's not venturing out. I'm trying to get her to
it's
play...
It's a similar type of game, though.
Listen. Fuck all whatever games you guys could suggest for the next 30 years. It's just, I'm trying to get her to play Banjo-Kazooie, and she won't fucking play that. So that's it. I mean, that's the fucking top tier,
yeah.
And she won't even play that. That's better than Spyro. All
right,
so, like, I'll fight you to the death about that one. So, anyways, she's playing the game, and I'm going to get ready to take a shower because I'm all fucking dirty from work, whatever. So I strip down to my fucking...
Just givies?
Yeah, nope, not even. Just Newbies? Dick out, whatever. Throw everything in our fucking laundry basket, which is like just your normal fabric wireframe basket thing. But it's got like a little lid on it. And the lid, it's kind of like one of those fancy deck boxes that has the lid and then that has a little 2-inch little overhang that has like magnets in it so it like snaps into place.
Right.
So like it'll, you
little
know,
flap.
Little flappy flaps. So I take all my clothes off and I go to throw it in there. So I lift the flap up and I slam it. I like flip it up really hard and it hits. It turns off the light switch that is connected to the PlayStation 3.
Oh, you fucked up.
And
she was pissed at you.
Yeah,
she
like she I hit it and she's like, "Oh, you turned the TV off." And I'm like, "Oh, sorry." And I look and I'm like, "Oh, the TV's still on. It's actually just the PlayStation cuz it's like, you know, anyways." Yeah, so I was like, "Oh." And I'm like, "When's the last time you saved?" She's like, "I have not saved." I'm like, "Oh." Fuck.
I'm having flashbacks to being like 10 years old. My brother like erasing my Pokemon video.
Right,
game.
It's that.
Like I wanted to kick his ass so fucking bad.
She's not like a serious gamer. So
I know,
like,
but
you know,
I'm having flashbacks.
So bad, but I just
PTSD.
Her
right
face
now.
Was like, oh no, you know, one of them, one yeah. of those, and one of them.
And that, I mean, sorry to interject, but that reminds me of a story that happened less than 4 hours ago when Mr. Songcrow came over. I was running a little bit late, so I was in the shower. And, you know, I have
like
dogs.
Like any friend would do. I came in and hugged you.
Yeah, so I was in the shower. He, you know, wanders into my house, which, you know, all the doors are open. I don't give a fuck. Any stranger that's going to come in isn't going to get assaulted by my dogs. So he comes in, he pokes his head around the corner, and I have the bathroom door open because it's fucking hot. I don't have central air. I don't want all that, you know, fucking moisture building up.
I take showers with the door open, like, every time.
Yeah. So he pokes his head around the corner. He's like, "Hey, are you naked?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm naked. I'm in the shower." He comes and gives me a bear hug, but he's like on the other side of the curtain. So like no skin is touching at all. But our bodies are
separated by a millimeter.
But yeah,
half a millimeter.
By a shower
by
curtain.
By a thin sheet of shower curtain.
And isn't there like an opening plastic in the top so I can like see you in the eyes?
What about that hole in the,
I think
that
I was
waist
the top of your head?
Yeah.
What about the glory hole? What
well,
about the
I'm
shower?
I'm installing that as
curtain?
We speak.
Yeah.
But
scissors, bro. That's it. All you need.
I'll go cut a hole right now.
But the thing was, I was like, this doesn't weird me out
not
at
me
all.
Either.
This isn't. If it was hot sauce, he might be a little weird out.
We had to laugh about that.
This doesn't weird me out.
Like, well, and then Croak tells me like, "Hey, you got to go inside the house. fucking Knife has a question for you. And I'm like, okay, sure. I'm guessing it's like electrical or something like that.
That's what I was hoping you'd
think. But the thing is, the joke's kind of over already. He's like,
yeah, well,
you in
came
his bath.
Like 15 minutes later than I thought.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Would.
He's in his like bath towel, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like, you know, eyeing his naked body, like, what's right. up? What's up? What we can do about this?
He's
you
a
know?
Sexy man chest.
And yeah, so I'm like. All right, we're comparing man chests. I took my shirt off, and I'm like, look at this. Look at my hair. Look at your hair. All right, let's look at some backs. All right, what do we got going
yeah,
on
look
here?
Look at the back
we're both,
hair.
We're both very hairy men. Let's yeah. just say that. I haven't had the comparison in like 5 years, probably 10
yeah.
years. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while.
Did you really take your shirt off?
Fuck yeah.
yeah.
That's hilarious. You didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
We were both, yeah.
I think it was like in our early 20s. We had just, you and
we're
I.
Comparing balls?
No, we were. That too. We were concerned about the start of just a little back hair growing on our backs. And you invited me over one evening to have a back shaving party. Just you and I. Nobody else in the house. Not even close. Nobody else even knew.
Yeah, but don't forget.
You could have murdered me and nobody
hey,
would have known.
Like, I feel like you guys have a pack like nobody talked about this ever.
Well, no.
Like, this is the first time I've talked about it since.
I was saying don't no? forget about the dim lights and the decadent desserts and
oh, yes.
the candles and the essence.
There was chocolate and there was a...
And sweet saxophone riffs.
And there was the Yankee candle.
The Yankee candle.
The after sex Yankee candle.
No. Remember the first
yes,
butthole
course,
Yankee
course.
Candle.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we had helped, because you can't reach. You can't reach that on your back for the hair, and you got to go to the pool and hang out
and
with the ladies.
He made me purr like a walrus.
Yeah, and we shaved each other's backs with an electric razor. There was no, like, you know, lathering on of the shave gel. But we did get closer that day.
I've had Raheem do it a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, luckily for me, I have very hairy chest like you guys, but I don't have a hairy back. So I'm happy I never had to have a back shaving party.
Hey, you know what? Good for you.
That's,
fucking
you don't have any.
I feel good about it. Little fucking child.
That's not true.
That's how you build best friends. You know?
Exactly.
Shave each other's backs. Anyways, that was my.
And riff on
Cool
Gang Zeep.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool game beams.
Cool gangs.
Cool big game using.
Go ahead.
Segment for Tom Porter.
Okay.
Back-shaving party. Yeah.
Tom Porter, one of our.
Yeah, he's all. He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know,
that's him.
Pretty sure it's
if
him.
Is that him?
Actually, it's pretty
sure. The picture on Twitter of Tom Porter. That's him.
That's him.
That's Arnold.
I talked to him about it.
He just likes naked men.
I saw Baby Driver.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
the
jealous.
Movie.
You guys saw the. You guys seen the trailers?
I really want to see. I feel like
you seen the trailer.
I feel like
I've seen the trailer.
You seen the trailer?
Yes, I'm very excited to see it. Before you can talk about it, I feel like it's a movie that's going to be not seen very much or not very, you know, well spread about people watching it.
No, it's
it's getting up
it
there?
Was, yeah, it, would, it was
okay.
Like...
Okay, well, maybe I'm wrong.
It almost tied Spider-Man in, like, opening weekend shit.
Okay,
like, it
well,
was
I'm
like
surprised by that because I haven't heard anybody else to talk about it at all. So I had this feeling, you know, watching the trailers, that it wasn't going to be a well-known movie, but it was going to make a cult
classic.
I'd
be fine with that. I mean, it's kind of cool to have, like, yeah, that...
I felt like it was going to have a cult
thing
following.
You've seen that people haven't seen, yada, yada.
I'm wrong. I didn't know that.
Let's just say that it's exactly the movie I want. It's a movie that doesn't take itself too seriously. And it's a movie... I feel like there's certain movies out there that the director or whoever, you know, put this movie together and they made it, like, for themselves. And it's
kind of like Cabin in the Woods?
Kind of like Cabin in the Woods.
Okay.
And it's kind of like what we do in this cast or something like that, where it's like we're not trying to, like, meet everyone's expectations. We're like... We're going to do something that we think is good. And
right.
we're not even, like, looking at... We're not taking surveys. We're not trying to figure out, like, what's the hot topics and all this kind of... We're just, like, literally making a movie for ourselves. And this is... It's not a 10 out of 10. And it wasn't disappointing. It was very, very good. It was... I mean, I'd call it excellent. But it still maybe was missing a couple little X factors that could have been there. But it still was exactly what I wanted it to be. And Cabin in the Woods is one of my favorite movies because of the idea that, like, the movie is just ridiculous... But it's clever, smart, and it was a movie made that is... This guy had, like, a passion project, I'm guessing, and he wanted to fucking make it. And it's like, he created his own thing with no judgment. He's like, I don't give a fuck if people like it or not. I think this movie's going to be
the
fantastic
lizard,
for
the
me.
Lizard people, or the dolphin people?
Go on.
The part of that movie?
Go on.
This is the best part of that movie. Remember?
It was the... Yeah, it was...
Okay, you're fine. I haven't seen it yet, so I thought you were just, like, fucking with
oh,
me.
Oh, you haven't seen Cabin in the Woods?
No.
Oh,
you talked about it, and I told you to borrow it.
You need to fucking
see
it.
Do you own it?
Yeah, I think so.
So let me borrow it. Yeah, I talked about it like maybe 50 episodes ago. I've wanted to watch it.
It's not the best movie in the world. That's but fine. It's just a.
I think it is.
I love B-rated horror movies, and I think those are some of the best movies ever made.
It's pretty much our alley.
So all these movies I'm talking about kind of feel like Quentin Tarantino, Rodriguez. Yeah, like that's, how about this? Like Dawn of the Dead. What is it? Oh, From Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay.
Right? The movie's like, you watch the first half and you're like,
okay. You have no idea it's about vampires.
You watch the first half and you're like, okay, we're having a good time. This is cool. And then all of a sudden, the movie switches gears and turns into a vampire movie and you're like, what the fuck?
That's like every Stanley Kubrick movie. Like the first
I was just going to say, Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, every one of his movies ever made is two separate movies in one. It's like nothing. Like, obviously, the same characters and the same like things going on, but they're totally separate movies. You can watch the first half of one of his movies and like be fine with that to the ending in the middle.
So to break it down, you're not following the rules of making movies. You're making what you want, passion project stuff. Those are the movies I like.
Right.
Baby Driver was one of those movies. It felt really good. It had good action. It had good pacing. It had really good music, kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy feel to it, where it was just pumping out good jams the whole time. And a lot of different vehicles, you know, and also a lot of the scenes that you see in the trailer are like the first 10 minutes, which feels really good that you get to get on to stuff that you didn't know was going to happen. That's pretty cool.
I like the trailer.
Instead of Star Wars, to give everything away.
What's the one fucking black actor that's in that movie?
Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, I was a little skeptical of him because in the trailer, he was like playing like the stereotypical part, and that like bothered me.
So I'll tell you right now, there's something that I really like about the movie, and the movie feels, it makes the you know, it's kind of like a heist movie type thing you've seen from the trailers, whatever. It makes the criminals in it feel real. It makes them, you can tell that they're fucking psychotic. You know, like, if you're doing heists and you're, like, literally just a fucking villain, you're literally not going to have a day job, you're just interested in stealing from others and all that shit, you got to have a couple of screws loose.
Yeah.
And it could be, like, you have moralities in, like, the wrong places. Like, you're just kind of, you talk to a fucking psychiatrist and they'll be like, why do you feel like this is okay and this is not? Like, you have strong feelings that this would be, like, not okay, and you'd stand up for it and like do the right thing, but this other shit you don't give a fuck about. Like, how does that work out? You can't like choose what's right and wrong. You gotta like do it all right or all wrong.
It's like Crow, who drinks PBR, but then for some reason when you fart when he's eating, it's like the most egregious offense in the world.
That's not right. That's a respect level. That's different than beer. That's respect.
No, but we're talking about the same concept here.
Like when villains have like a code for some reason, and you're like, why do you have a code if you're just a dirty scoundrel?
Right.
And the movie feels real that way. You can tell these people are like just a little fucking deranged, and so Jamie Foxx plays a good person for that, where it's just like, this guy's just a fucking psychopath.
Okay.
He plays a good psychopath. That's pretty much what it is. So yeah. Good. But they're like, you know, anyone that's in a heist movie, they're all pretty smart for the most part, because they have to, you know, outsmart the rest of the fucking world so they can get away with it. So there's smart people that have just wicked ideas of the world. And so they played, a lot of the movie played into really good themes of that kind of stuff, I felt like, which maybe, I feel like a lot of people won't be grasping that from the movie. They'll be looking at it more just like a action heist movie with a little bit of comedy splashed in. But I think there's something else to it, to really see, you know, the mind of someone like that.
That's something I really enjoy watching, like TV shows, like say like a Criminal Minds or something like that, where just as a basic example, where they kind of give you that venture into the mindset.
Yeah, and you see what a sociopath really is. And you're like, how does this fucking guy have a code for this and not for this and whatever?
Like, the reason, I remember, you know, talking about Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez movies, the double feature Grindhouse.
Fucking love that.
Everybody loves Planetary more. I am one of, if not the only one, who like Death Proof better.
Right.
I love Death Proof. With Kurt Russell in that, right? It's Kurt Russell?
Kurt Russell.
Yeah. Yep. So his character in that movie, being what he is and being using his car to kill people and things like that, they did such a good job looking into what that type of killer would be, being that he doesn't venture to attack people like, you know, face to face. He uses his vehicle to kill them. He never has any actual interaction with them other than scaring them while he's driving. And so the fact that these girls fight back, and then they actually get a hold of him and get him out of the car.
Scare the shit out of him.
And he's a screaming little bitch.
Yeah.
And he's a little, like, he's, like, so scared. And he's like, no, I'm doing whatever.
Which is true.
Like, if you think about it, like, he's that kind of killer is a coward type of killer, where he's using the power of something else rather than actually doing anything physically himself.
Right.
To be actually confronted by somebody. That was just a great viewpoint in that type of character, that kind of person. And so I love them because they're such a good level on a character and on a human psyche viewpoint.
Yeah, so this movie didn't do as great a job as that, but I still like some of those key things of you know, what you just said. Because that is true. That is a great part of that movie where you get to see that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really liked it, though. It was fucking awesome. get obviously good driving in it. It didn't like it wasn't all about driving. It was more just a traditional, you know, heist movie or whatever. But yeah, it's fucking good. I really enjoyed it. I mean, I'd see it again if anyone of you guys wanted to go see it. Like, I'm down. I have no problem.
Yeah, I want to see it.
It was a really good time. And like I said, music was fucking good. It's just the whole thing all the way to the end, you know. There was like one questionable thing that happened with, like I just say, Kevin Spacey's character or whatever. That for the, like the plot wise, I was like, but that was the only gripe I have about actually the whole movie is just one thing that, that he, happened with him or whatever. But yeah, so the review is, I'll say 8.5 out of 10. 8.5 out of 10. Met expectations, could have maybe had a little bit more, but it falls right into the category movie I like. What? Okay, real quick before we move on, what other movies that we mentioned that are kind of like that, the not take itself so seriously movie? Anything else you guys can think of?
I mean, you can go into period horror movies. That's the entire genre.
Yeah.
I mean, Army of Darkness into that a little bit. Like,
yeah, you
can
go into that.
It's goofy as fuck,
and that's a passion project. I can.
I mean, Sam Raimi projects in the whole Evil Dead series is what you just said. I mean, he created the original Evil Dead like when he was in college. Like that was like one of his first movies ever made with like no budget, and they ended up remaking it. Evil Dead 2 was just a remake of the original one, slightly different, but now they had a little bit of production money for Evil Dead 2. And then Army of Darkness was just this over-the-top fucking antics of a fun time of, like, this is our fucking... This is B-rated horror. This is epic. This is amazing. So a lot of the B-rated horror projects are mostly passion projects from people who want to make a movie like that.
Yeah.
I think Cabin in the Woods is the most, like, recent example I can think of. And it really accentuates that point. But yeah, I think the roots of that or the flag bearers of that are like the Stanley Kubricks and the Quentin Tarantinos, and they're just like, you know what? I want to make a movie. I want to tell a story, but I'm gonna do it my way, and I don't care.
Okay, here's another one. It's not quite to the extreme, but I liked 10 Cloverfield Lane, the Cloverfield sequel, whatever you want to call it, kind of, sort of, not really.
Okay,
I wanted to see that because it looked really good to me.
Yeah, John Goodman. That movie and then felt that way too.
The only thing for me at that point was I didn't realize it was a sequel-ish in the same universe.
You don't know what that is. You don't know what that means.
I don't.
So
but
that's the whole
thing
about
it. I mean,
cool, it's
the same universe
it.
Of that. What,
you don't
what's
know anything
movie?
About that. Cloverfield.
Okay, so I couldn't watch it. Didn't see it in theaters. I went to watch it with somebody, and we were watching it, and I had to turn it off. I couldn't follow the constant shaking
right. So
of
far,
the handheld.
Obviously, so there's none of that in the movie.
Yeah, that's what you told me. But
also, like, I don't want to say anything about it, but, like, you don't know what... You don't know that it's the same universe.
So
maybe it's not the same universe. Like, you don't know. It's
okay,
not,
so it's the same universe in theory, but not it doesn't actually have anything to do with each other?
It doesn't matter. Like, the movie
okay,
is, like,
so the movie stands
totally
alone,
separate.
It stands
totally
alone,
separate.
Alone you can watch.
Never okay. see the first one. It has nothing to do with the movie.
I'm just glad that John Goodman is getting work again. You know what I mean?
I'm surprised he's not dead.
I thought he was dead.
I know for sure, but like big, you know, you see old people, you see fat people, you don't see a lot of fat old people. That's the saying, and that's totally true.
That's a saying?
That's a saying. That's what I say.
You don't see a lot of fat old people.
Right. You see fat people, you see old people, you don't see a lot of fat old people. Because they fucking die when they're like 55.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. And I heard a little behind the scenes movie star trivia. Is that John Goodman actually did die 12 years ago, and now he's just, they preserved his skin and filled him up with mashed potatoes, and then he's like a puppet on strings.
What's the guy?
And Roseanne
does
the strings.
Oh, it's Roseanne. She's actually inside the suit, because she lost 40 pounds, and so they can make up for all the mashed potatoes.
Yeah, but they fill up the rest with mashed potatoes,
yeah.
And they're like, Roseanne, stop eating those mashed potatoes.
And she's already got a wiener, so it's like, it totally works out.
Yeah.
So I went to a
behind the actor's studio that I read that
I went to a beer bar called Coin House.
Coin Haas. Okay.
And it is a bar, retro video game bar.
Right. There's a lot of those popping up these
right.
days.
Right. So this one though, there's like one employee for the whole place, which is weird because bars have bartenders and whatnot.
Right.
This does not. This is something that you have when you go in. I'm like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing here. You tell me what to do. And she's like, cool. Give me your credit card. I'm like, good, step one. And then she gave me a card back that had like the little points card thing, whatever, like kind of Dave and Buster style, whatever.
Right.
And she's like, all right, this is going to be linked to your credit card, whatever you spend. We'll just put it on here. You get the card, and they have all these beer taps. There's like 50 or 60 of them or something like that.
Like lined up against the walls.
Lined up against the walls, basically. There's actually a big shipping container in the middle of the room that has them all wrapped around it. So okay. It's even cooler than that. But anyway, so you go up to it, there's a little screen, and you put the card against the screen, and then it like lights up saying like, oh, we recognize that this is your account or whatever. And you pull the tap, and it recognizes it how much you poured down to the hundredth of an ounce. And so you're able to like just splash in a fucking drip if you want to like just taste it or whatever, and it'll cost 30 cents. Or you can pour half a glass, or you can pour whatever the fuck you want. And you
or can
just
you can fill up your 7-Eleven big gulp cup.
Yeah, and then just get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
And it'll cost you like $70.
But then you use your girlfriend's card.
Legally, they have regulations on how much you can actually buy on your card in a night.
I'm sure, yeah.
But otherwise, you can't regulate that, and that's something that bars get sued for is over-pouring. So I think the self-pouring bars like that, I'm pretty sure there's regulations
on that. I'm pretty sure you're right. I'm sure there's like a limit to like 60 ounces or some fucking thing like that.
You know why I don't drink anymore is because my first thought was just like, just fucking put my mouth right on the fucking, you know, the tap.
The teat.
Yeah, and then just fucking gulp.
And you're using someone else's credit card.
Yeah.
And so you can just get the hell out of
there. I'm using my dead grandmother's credit card that for some reason never got canceled.
Right.
And so I'm just going to town.
Well, they haven't actually ran the card yet. You know, they're just putting money on the account and then you run out of there really fast.
Yeah, they're just holding a tab open.
So the retro video games. But it's a plan. Let's go do this.
But I play Pac-Man before I go.
So speaking of Pac-Man, they had like a fucking four. They had like four big screens all like put together for like one Jumbotron type thing. And they had a four-player Pac-Man where, like, you can eat special power-ups to eat other Pac-Men. Other players.
Pikmin.
So you can...
That's a game.
It's a cool game.
Nintendo, Wii.
Okay, then Pikmin. Pikmin. So, but this one's cool. It's like...
You know, copyright infringement. Be careful.
So you don't play as the ghost. You play as other Pac-Men.
You play as the Pips.
And you're like, eat me. Yeah.
So you play as this four Pac-Man or whatever, and then you fucking do your thing. You're going around collecting all the bullshit or whatever, avoiding the ghosts. You collect the fucking big one, and then you get to eat the ghost. And you collect another thing, and you're able to turn all the other players into the little blue flashing things, and you can eat other players, too, to, like, take their lives away or whatever. So, and you can play Pac-Man like that. It's pretty cool.
Is the waka 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 sound, is that, like, when the pips get eaten and, like, their balls are getting squished open? It's like, waka waka waka. You know the noise Pac-Man makes when he eats them?
Well, how does he make the noise if he's not eating them? Because he makes them sometimes without eating them, right?
Well, that's what I'm asking. I'm trying to figure this out.
It's a confusing world, man. You know, I've only been there once, and I couldn't even get out of the
first level. That's just the noise he makes when he eats, but he's always trying to eat. He's actually part
of... So it's not the pips.
I think it's Pac-Man language
for
hungry.
It's not like you being a pip and you dying. Going, waka!
Waka is, no, Waka is literally a direct translation from the Pac-Man language.
It's his hungry. Lips smacking. And like Hot Sauce said, in the native tongue, it means, you know, put stuff in here now.
Yeah.
I'm looking for
sustenance.
Which, Miss Pac-Man, that can be misconstrued, and they had to make it a slightly different tone because just put something in here right now.
She only wants dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
She...
Because she's on Miss Pac period.
And there's
a Urban Dictionary word.
There's a okay.
Mud shark.
She's a mud shark. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
Is that really what it was? So,
I think it was mud shark.
You're fucked up.
Yeah. The way he's looking.
Nobody looked that up.
So what other games? Did they have
such like dark chocolate?
Did they have traditional games there?
They only had old school ones. So the newest.
Traditional old.
Yeah, yeah.
Games.
They had like Mortal Kombat. I played. Oh, they had a.
But like Frogger, like the tabletop.
They didn't have. Well, they probably had Frogger. Yeah, they had Frogger. They had Joust.
Making shit up now.
They had Excitebike Arcade,
ooh,
which is fucking pretty spicy.
That is spicy.
They had like Tekken and shit like that. Oh, but they also had Area 51.
Ooh,
that
was of course.
That's probably the newest game.
They have Police Trainer.
They did not. Cause that
oh my
game.
God!
Me and my chick, we fucking both love Police Trainer. That was one of the first things.
The quintessential
like,
arcade
on
game.
On our first date or second date, we were talking about Police Trainer, and it's like, I love that game, and she's like, I love that game. I'm like. I love you.
Let's go to round table right now.
Let's go to round table right now and play and fucking waste like $30.
I
want to
choke you right now.
I'm going to choke you.
Hey, go on your face.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how.
Wow, you guys didn't have to say that last part.
True love.
It was like stereo.
True love. Choke you right now and come on your face. Come on, you can't do it with me?
I was laughing.
I'm grabbing your shoulder like, come on, follow me.
Okay, that's it.
We're past it. Anyways, so
we'll bring it back.
It was really fun. I was there for like 2.5 hours, and I spent $45 on whatever beer I had, which I had like fucking. They had like mead. They had wine there. Obviously, just like water. Kombucha.
Did you say weed?
Mead.
They had weed. They were like fucking.
You get the W and puffing you flip on it. And then one of the E's is an A, and then it's made of honey.
What Vikings drink?
It's a Vikings drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. You serve it out of a horn.
Yeah. You have to have enough balls to drink it. You have to have a beard.
$300 for the horn.
You have to axe some people in the face.
Yeah.
You gotta feel manly.
You have to kill the king.
You gotta rape and pillage.
To get the horn.
You gotta take all the booty and the plunder.
You have to kill.
That's not the same. You can't.
Those are pirates,
don't
bro.
Plunder booty.
Those are.
Sure they do. They rape and pillage.
Yeah, they rape and pillage.
Same, you know, acronym.
Actually,
they have a code.
What?
They don't do that.
Nice save. Side note, what arcade game have you, like, beat multiple times?
Oh, God.
Wow. I would say...
That's a hard question,
I'm going to say Double Dragon.
Wow, really?
Yeah, Double Dragon.
That is a hard game.
Yeah, Double Dragon. And two-player, for sure. But
of course, Double Dragon.
Yep.
I think he's lying.
No, for sure. It's only, like, six levels, I think, or...
I can never get
past... Eight levels?
I can never get past the part where those guys, those big bald guys come out of the rocks.
Right.
They always fuck me up.
Well, some scenes get to, like, four of those guys, and you're like, okay, this is going to be really hard. But as long as you have a weapon...
Yeah, of course.
You're able to, like... Because, like, yeah, I've been in some pressure situations where it's like, I'm never going to get through this, because you have to, like, hit him to the right, then hit him to the left, then hit him to the right, then you have to, do like, time it perfectly, because, like, if you miss the swing, then, like, the recoil of your fucking whip or whatever shit that is or whatever, then they fucking hit you, and then you just get counter...
And then the whip falls on the ground and disappears.
Yeah, exactly. Shit like that. It's a pain in the ass, but you've got to spend a lot of quarters. Or, the thing is, okay, to be truthful, I did beat it, but it took it was free game. So I had, like, unlimited lives, so I was there for a long
time.
That's
helpful.
But still, I was able to go through the whole thing.
Well, still, like, takes dedication regardless if you put money in or not.
That, I would say the six-player X-Men game.
Okay.
What?
X-Men.
Yeah, six-player X-Men one, the arcade one.
Between that and Police Trainer and Ninja Turtles, my top three arcade games of all time.
Yeah, and Ninja Turtles, like, and Simpsons, both. Yeah.
Yeah,
Simpsons.
For sure. The Simpsons game was so much fun.
That was
hot. Damn it, that was so much fun.
Beat the shit out of both, but they're interchangeable. Simpsons and Ninja Turtles are exactly the same game.
Yeah, they are the same game, just different skins on them. I beat the Simpsons game. Me and my old friend David, you've heard me talk about his stupid shenanigans. We've beat it multiple times.
Baby Daddy. No, I mean
Uncle Daddy.
Uncle Daddy.
Uncle Daddy David.
Where the guy has his uncle sister and a dad to his child, but his brother is also an uncle and dad to his child because they both married the same woman at different times. You can figure that out in your own audience.
Yeah, good family value decisions made in that household.
Well, she wasn't good enough for him, so she's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
So,
or he wasn't good enough, so I'm better. I don't know.
I don't think any of them are good. So I beat it multiple times with Elena, my girlfriend, also. And so,
Where'd you go?
Boomers. Fun Center, wherever. Yeah. So, yeah, that's...
You know they took out all the arcades up top.
Yeah, they did.
That's fucked up.
Been a while.
They removed Initial D. And I was talking to my chick about, like, one day I should fucking get some arcade games or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, later on when we're
Man
older.
Man Cave Goals.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Right? Like, why not?
Fuck yeah.
I've had a website bookmarked on my computer for 6-7 years now about...
Yeah.
You know, like, when I have... $2,500
to throw away.
To invest in funness and life goals. I'm going to buy this.
Well, it's just true though, because you can spend the money and you can turn it around and sell it for 80% of what you fucking bought it for.
The best thing is, it's just basically like one of those little pie fucking.
Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, Raspberry Pi. Those little things. It's basically that inside of a big old fucking arcade module.
Right. So I was saying to her, like, okay, if we get like to choose, if we get. You get your own, exact whatever choice you want, you can choose your own, we'll get that one. Then we'll get whatever I want, and then we'll get a third one, which will be, like, the one that's good for everybody, like a good multiplayer one or whatever. So I asked her what hers would be, and I think hers, she said, a fighting game. So I'm thinking, like, Tekken. Mortal Kombat, Tekken. Or, like, what are the other ones that are
Street
like
Fighter?
That? Not Street Fighter.
Soul Calibur.
Soul Calibur, there it is. Like that, and I said Initial D.
Mm-hmm.
Initial D is my game.
So what would be the For Everybody game?
I'm blanking on Initial D. What is that
Initial
game?
D is the Japanese racing game where you like go down the twisty roads or whatever. Okay. And it's like, you know, you have the full steering wheel and you have a card that like prints out and saves your game.
So that's like
forever.
That's like the best part of that game is like it prints you out a card and you have like a car unlocked on that card. Yeah. And like there's like unlocks you can do for the car or something like that.
Yeah, like you can make everything better and faster, and okay. you can get all the cars. And okay. you'll save all the levels you
beat. First racing RPG of all time?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So it's really, really fun, and it's totally up my alley of, like, I really like Japanese, you know, like...
Well, it has,
I used to love playing that racing game where, like, you just fucking spin yank the goddamn wheel while you're doing around the, just a circle
oh,
race
super
track.
Off-road.
Super off-road.
Yeah.
Super
off-road.
That's the three steering wheel one, the blue,
yeah, the blue,
or blue, yellow, and red.
I think it was three. It was three.
It was three, for sure.
That's yeah, what I was going to suggest for the multiplayer.
That would be a really good
grab
one.
It, yank it, yeah.
That was a really fun game, and you get the little nitro boost and all that kind of crap like that.
Gotta dodge
I thought, like, the controls in that game are, like, stellar.
Yeah,
like, I felt like it's exactly where you're pointing the steering wheel is, like, where that little stupid thing's going.
Yeah, it was
really fun game. I had that game on an NES. Actually, talking about other games is not arcade game, but you guys remember RC Pro-Am?
Of course.
Yeah, that was fucking best. That's my ringtone on my phone.
I know.
I love that fucking game. The game is amazing, so.
So, my brother is really into fucking gay porn. No, RBI Baseball. And so he looked up a long time ago. I think I talked about it on the podcast, like, a while ago, that he looked up where there was still some active RBI Baseball, like, arcades. And one of them was right here in our fine city of Santee, California, 92071.
Jesus, I just got so upset.
Oh, I'm good. No, we're good. I think we already know.
We've established.
We've established.
Yeah.
East County, San Diego.
We're famous.
We're right under where the flights take off at Gillespie Field Airport.
Locals call it Gillespie.
Yeah, because the planes are fucking really old and shitty.
Yeah.
They're jalopies. Anyway,
they trained terrorists there.
So,
all right, that's too far.
They did.
We're on a watch list now. And I don't like that.
Actually, I made a 9/11 joke to my bass player. We have band practice, and he goes live on Facebook like a fucking dummy. And so I always try and say stupid shit because I'm like, this is dumb. And so I made a joke. We're gonna play
old people in technology, right? I right?
Am I right? So
like your one band who always has a selfie stick. The guy's like 50.
That's the guy.
Okay, dude. Are you, a 14-year-old Asian girl?
I know.
God damn it.
So
he's on stage with the selfie stick. Sing the fucking song.
He was going live.
Dick.
We fucking have a show coming up on September 9th. And
oh, God damn it.
And we were trying to think of names for the show to call it. I said it should be called Ground 2.
Oh, God.
Because 2 plus 9, September 11th. It wasn't a very good joke.
Yeah.
But he got he was like, that's not funny, which made me laugh even more, you know? So anyways.
Well, you could call it, because it's only two and there's two towers. You can go on that route, too.
Yeah, like, it's multiple
like
angles.
Two Towers of Devastation Tour or something like that, you know? Like
yeah, Up in Smoke Tour.
That's Cheech and Chong.
Yeah, that's the joke. God damn it. Anyways.
I don't like that joke. No, that wasn't
good.
Yeah, that
was a good one.
See, you can only make fun of horrible things if you're funny. That's like a rule. And so now I'm kind of
like
mad
like
that you
rape
made
jokes.
That joke. Because you're not funny, and now I'm mad at you.
So
you can't make those kind of jokes.
So that's the line, is if it's funny, it's okay.
Okay.
But if it's
you already thought of? If it, when you were like, did you forget to give Bert insulin? That is an appropriate joke.
Okay. We're getting derailed, but that was...
Corey Neese, coming at you.
We're getting derailed, but that joke, I haven't been ashamed of a joke in a long time. Like, honestly, like, I felt really bad.
But it's like...
I laughed at it so
like, good. I'm sad, but I'm also happy that you guys can say something
talking
like
about, we gotta tell what happened.
Yeah, of course. So, anyways...
I'm on the phone with my girlfriend.
Quick story, he's on the phone with his girlfriend. In the past, she had called up and would ask him, hey, did you feed the dogs, and did you give Bert their
His
now dead cat, insulin.
Rest in peace, Bert.
Because he's... He was
diabetic
was.
And asthmatic.
I would kill both of you right now to bring that cat back. I would kill both of you and chop you in little fucking pieces and feed it to that cat to bring it back to life. Because that's the procedure.
Look, we get it. You got offended by the joke. Relax.
So his girlfriend calls him, and he said something to the effect of like, oh, what do you want? Or something like that. And then I, not wanting to say it out loud, texted So and Crow.
Like, not even our group text, just to me individually.
Just to him, I was like, did you give Bert insulin? And the cat's dead. It's like gone, you know, not of this earth anymore.
It's really dead.
Yeah.
Like, it's really
definitely dead.
Like, I don't even know where the body's at.
It's not even scratching the really coffin dead. Case. It's just dead.
So back to RBI Baseball. One of two existing...
So good.
It was really funny.
I wanted to show it to him, like, but I'm like reading it going, I feel like I'm laughing.
Just wait till I'm off
bad.
The phone. That's all you gotta do. Wait till I'm off the phone and we're all
that's what we did.
I felt really, really, like, to my soul bad that I thought
like,
of it.
In that moment, I loved you more. Because I'm like, wow, he is dark to another level. He is an asshole and my kind of kin.
Yeah, and that's why I'm sitting here with you guys. So there was, you know, I don't even care about RBI baseball. There was only two in the fucking country of the United States.
You talked about this actually before,
and
too.
One of them was in Santee, California.
That's sweet.
So
at least you can play it.
Yeah, looking into trying to, my brother's trying to pick one of those up. So anyway,
so I there was, remember that Linus Tech Tips tip?
Wow,
Linus Tech Tips, that video I showed you about the dead mouse when they went in his house, whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that same guy, this last week, they had a video about building your own arcade. Ooh. And it was pretty cool. Like, they just got an old computer, like it would be like a good gaming system from like 6-7 years ago or something like that. And enough to where it had like the graphics card had like flexibility with like outputs. So you can do like S video and shit. So you can use a CRT monitor. Because you can't, you play it on a fucking flat screen.
No.
So like shit like that. And also then you can use the light guns. Because the light guns need a CRT.
You gotta have the bubble.
Right. Like you literally, it's not possible.
I know.
Okay. Making sure the audience knows.
Yeah.
Stop cutting him off, douche.
No, I tried to do that with my fucking shitty flat screen in the game room, and that's when I realized I can't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was sad.
Yep. So, anyways, they showed this whole thing, and it was, like, good. It was, like, cool idea. Showed, like, all the components. Showed, like, the software that you need and whatever else, and it was, like, it was cool.
So how hard would the wood building be on that?
The wood building would be the hardest part.
Right.
Yeah, so I mean,
that's not even a joke. I'm literally asking.
The cabinet part.
I know,
but
like
part.
All I hear is hardwood, and that made me laugh.
I mean, you
I'm
can buy
simple jokes.
You can buy like basically IKEA furniture that is one of those arcade cabinets. So like, there's companies out there that sell, like, you know how they have like the particle board is like pretty much what all is, and then they have those like little rubber parts that snap into the end of the particle board. You know, like you see a cabinet and you see like some like 1-inch. Black rubber strip that runs up and down and around all the parts, as on the edges or whatever.
Right.
To be that classic look. So it has all that, and you kind of snap it into the fucking slit in the particle board.
How much do you think that they're just the
cabinet?
Yeah.
Fuck, I don't know. They didn't give any prices, I don't think, but I would imagine
particle board's not expensive.
Probably $800 or something
you
like that.
You think so? That much?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
just to
it's
have
one company making it. It's
oh,
not...
I thought you... Okay, my bad. I didn't hear right. I thought you meant like to get the material to make it yourself.
No. To get the material... So if you wanted to just make it yourself... Out of probably ply, that's probably what it would be. You're probably looking at like $200 in wood, I would say, something like that, and just like a lot of time.
Because we could do this.
Yeah.
You might actually violently have to make it.
This is within the realm of possibility.
Like, you have like the least amount of like handyman mechanical experience, and you could help out at least.
This is true.
So we can also do something that's like a half system.
That wasn't a joke. I mean, that's just a straightforward
truth. We can also do a half system.
Like, between me and Hot Sauce here.
What's a half system?
Like, as in, it could just be... The console area with like the joysticks and the buttons, whatever, and then the screen, and then the little thing up top that just says what game it is, or you can put just fucking, you know.
Just not like cutting out the bottom half. It's
Night City's
standing.
Fucking House of Love, you know, that's the fucking name of your system, whatever.
Right.
And then it has no base to it, so you can put it on a table instead or something like that.
Okay, okay.
So if you didn't want to like build the whole cabinet below, you could probably save, you know, half the wood or whatever by not making the stand up machine and not have to do like the. Insert coin part and all that stuff. You could just literally just not.
I feel like that takes away from like the experience.
Just saying, you could just do the CRT. They do also. There are companies that do sell the proper CRTs that are for arcade cabinets.
Okay.
So like they are not a traditional like you know fucking Zenith huge tube TV thing. They're just like the screen that has the same mounting holes that mount that screw into the designated frame, you know, whatever it is, you know, 24 inches by 30 inches, whatever that frame is, that has these little tabs on the side that screw right into it, so, like, it's meant for it.
And
it has all the proper inputs, because there are different, like, VGA and all kinds of other old-school inputs that they would have that you can do all the media stuff with. So they have this shit available.
For some reason, they're more bubbly, too. Like, more bubbly than a traditional CRT, right?
Or you can get them opposite. You can get them flatter. But they're still CRTs.
Gotcha.
You can get them like to be a flat screen, but still be a CRT.
I don't feel right.
It can be.
It's got to have the bubble.
It can be concave.
Could be concave.
Yes.
Instead of convex.
It could just go. Yeah, it could just go. You can't even reach into it. It's too deep.
This guy's fucking
wordsmith. Or you could have like the ones where they have like the mirror, and so the TV's actually on the bottom.
Yeah, those were crazy.
It goes up, and then it you can do that too. We can get really wild here. I built in my school for electrical, whatever.
Buck wild.
I built a fucking vending machine. And that was awesome. That like taught me like some things, like some control.
All right, so
wiring
what you're saying is, let's do this. Like
it was
all
it was really cool.
You know what we could also do is just build the bottom half and use a fucking projector.
But then you're taken away from the what you just you, yeah, know, you can't duck hunt that. We're not playing the arcade style.
Well, no
way.
One.
We can just play arcade games on our computer if you want to right now for free.
He can play it on his Android right now. He's got a simulator.
When have you ever seen fucking Duck Hunt on a goddamn arcade game? You know what? How's your week been, Crow? This is bullshit.
Exactly. Put a fucking pin in that one though.
That's not our nug. That's not our nug.
That's not our nug. We'll get to it though.
Not the nug. fucking that's... keep it short.
I'm mad because my dreams are getting crushed. Pissing me off. We can do it. This could be our project, though.
I kind of want this to be our project.
I'm down.
After Risk Legacy and after we make our Buset.
I thought about that like last week,
and
too.
And our cube.
Yeah, we got more cubes to build,
well,
too.
I mean, we did build one.
I'm proud of us for actually finishing one. Yeah. That is a good point.
I mean, well, technically, we're like 3 chords short still, but, you know.
But, I mean...
Like, they don't need to know that. I'll edit that out. Wink. I had to say wink because they can't see me winking.
So, I'm working again. Another bar downtown. So that's
fuck yeah, you are.
It's good.
Yeah.
Still scraping by right now because I have to wait on the paycheck and everything.
Ooh, yeah.
Base level pay is much better, but scrape tips are pipe. Much lower. So, got to get paid.
Are you making the same, basically, you think? Ish?
I had to see what actual paycheck's going to hit, but essentially. But it was always nice having, like, real cash in my wallet going home. And I have to, like,
oh, yeah, because then you can buy cards. And
yeah, and then my wife would know.
You're a sleazy little bastard.
No, I just, you know, rather buy cards than have for my wife take her mom to lunch, you know.
Yeah, fuck family.
Yeah.
Let's go right to fucking cardboard.
Fuck nourishment and relationships.
Yeah. My wife's only good for baby making. I don't give a fuck about her meals. Or her mother.
I'm pretty happy and excited to be working there. It's kind of one of the reasons I left most of all the jobs I've left before is because I hate that corporate feel where you're just a fucking number and they don't give a shit. They don't realize that real life's a thing. Like, you know, family's a thing. It's just about work.
Right.
And then so I've been talking to people while working there, and they're all like giving me the same kind of thought process of like, yeah, it's a pretty good solid family here. Like, the owners actually care about us. They're cool. They'll take us out to parties and do all their shit. And, like, so you hear that kind of thing, but until you actually see it or experience some of it, you're, like, still kind of a little weary, at least for myself, I've been through too many bad corporate experiences.
That's one of your things you're looking for.
Yes.
Is that, like,
oh,
one
fully,
of your main
fully. Like, that's
for.
What I'm saying. Like, almost every job I've left was because of corporate bullshit.
Right.
I'm punk mindset that thinks people are more important than fucking the money.
And so, like, for me, just side note, like, I think I appreciate that for sure. I would love to have that family thing, but I think more for me is just to... people just to leave me the fuck alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, like, when I'm working in construction, whatever, if I have, like, a project I'm doing, I'd rather not people, like, interfere and get in my fucking way and ask me questions about, like, when it's going to get done and all this stuff. I'd much rather them just be like, this is what you do, and then they just come back in the 5 days and be like, is it done, right? And it's done. And I'd be like, yes, it is. And they're like, cool, here's your next one. That's what I want. I just want to be left alone and fucking do my thing. You know what I mean? More so than, I don't, you know, if I'm a number, that's fine. I just want to make sure that in the field, I don't have to feel like anything. I just want to fucking do my work and go home.
Yeah, I understand.
Anyways, moving
micromanaging
on.
Micromanaging sucks no matter where you are.
Yeah,
totally micromanaging sucks. Is bullshit. And you fuck people who are managers out there, and you micromanage people, you're an asshole, just so you know.
I just want to be able to look at dicks at
and
my job.
And you do a good job at that.
And really good job.
So the reason I bring that up is because after this last week, I started like just before 4th of July weekend there. So like, you know, busy weekend in a downtown bar. And after the weekend ended, after being there a few shifts and everything, after 4th of July happened, you know, we're all at security's all there at the end of the night, and we had just all clocked out, like, hey, let's have a shift. They're like, here, have a shift beer. We had a great weekend. Everybody did a good job. Here's a shift beer. And it was just kind of like, it's not like some, like, oh my God, they gave us a huge bonus. Like, it's just like a $5, $10, whatever fucking beer.
Yeah.
But that's not the point. The point is,
the thought
it was like, okay, we appreciate it. You guys did a good job. We didn't have any major incidents. There was no fights. There was no blood spilled. There was nothing fucking bad. We did a good job this weekend. Thanks for the work. Here's a beer.
Yeah.
And, like, no corporation will ever do that for you. So that was, like, just – it was a good feeling for me because I'm looking for a place that gives a shit about its workers.
Yeah. And anytime you're encouraged to drink on the job, always a good thing.
We technically clocked out first, but yes. So yeah, we all just hung out there for a half hour, had a fucking beer, and talked to us. It was good. It just felt good to fucking be in a place like that.
Nice.
The other fucking cool thing, talking about old school throwback stuff, is another game Wizards of the Coast used to make. It's no longer production from them. It's called MLB Showdown. I doubt you guys ever played it. Essentially, it is a baseball card game.
No, never played it.
So you build. You have your team has to be 5,000 points or less, and it has to be a full working lineup in order. You have to have four starting pitchers.
So it's like Canadian Highlander. I mean, Canadian
Miss.
DH.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to build. There is restrictions on how you build your team, and there's always bonuses for fielding or types of hitting, and it's a dice rolling game. Same thing as the D20, non roll down, so it's a randomized dice. Anyways, used to play this growing up as a kid, and my good buddy Adam, who I still play Magic with him a little bit now and then, like get him into it. We're talking, and he's like, "Hey, I still have my showdown cards." Like, he didn't think I had my deck anymore, but I did. I still have my team. And I was able to go through my closet and find all my old MLB Showdown cards. So I made a couple more teams.
Oh, that's fucking rad.
Started playing that. And like, it was like in 2000, between 2000 and 2005 was when Wizards of the Coast made this game. And it was just, I mean, it's there's a reason it failed because there's, I mean, baseball and sports compared to a nerd card game, I mean, you're only going to hit so many genres. And especially at that time when nerd wasn't king yet. So it was... People played it, but it wasn't like as big as they thought it was going to get, being an actual MLB licensed product that they went for. So, game's a lot of fun. Been playing that again, so it's just a good time playing an old school game like that and being able to go back and play it. And to the point where my buddy actually went and like bought another starter deck because the strategy cards and everything involved in the game, like there's essentially a card that's not called a card called Brainstorm in there that does exactly the same thing. Basically,
oh really?
As Brainstorm and Magic.
Wow.
So you use strategy cards, you try to pitch the games. It's a lot of fun if you're into baseball and playing like board games and tabletop and card games and shit like that. So that was been pretty cool playing that. The other thing I did this weekend or last Friday was Spider-Man. The new one came out.
You see it?
Yep.
Oh
yep.
Shit!
My dad, myself, and my son went and saw it, and yeah,
it's really good, right?
Really good.
I bet it was. Really I heard it was good. Super good. I'm looking forward to see it too.
So. As far as Spider-Man goes, like people have like lost a lot of faith on it and everything, and like I don't think this one's going to hit as hard because it has like Tony Stark and shit in it and whatnot. But like as far as like the original Tobey Maguire movies are, we all know they were horrible. They're fucking horrible. I couldn't even finish the third one. I walked out of it. It was so bad.
Yeah, the first one was tolerable, and everything after that just went downhill.
I feel like it was
almost
horrible. It wasn't horrible. It was okay.
Yeah,
but I feel like it was mostly tolerable because we didn't have legit. Superhero movies at that point, really.
Well, we didn't have another Spider-Man.
We didn't have legit Spider-Man to go off of, so it was okay at the time. Now looking back, if you go watch it again, I don't think you're gonna have the same feelings. I think you're gonna go like, "Wow, this is pretty bad."
It's like when you're finger fucking in junior high. You're like, "This is the best thing ever," and then now you're like, "Well, fucking whatever."
Yeah. So I think because of that, the Amazing Spider-Man, where Andrew Garfield played Spider-Man. I think that suffered, that people were so upset at how bad the original Spider-Man's turned out to be that people didn't fucking want to see this. They didn't give it the time of the day. And I personally thought The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield was actually pretty good. I thought it was actually a pretty fun movie.
I never saw any of them.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's the point. Like, you didn't fucking want to give it the time of the day. And it was actually, I thought it was really good. There was two of them. The first one I thought was really good. The second one wasn't bad either. And I think both of them were far and away better than the original three. This one beats them all. Beats them all.
Spider-Man
Homecoming was
I'm hoping
fucking,
so. I think it's going to... I mean, I haven't seen it, so I'm hoping it will, too, and that's cool.
It brings in the quality of directors and film work and comedy of all the new, like, Avengers and all the new legit movies that are made, all the Joss Whedon ones and stuff like that.
Well, the thing that makes me excited for it is that, what, the licensing or whatever was finally up for Spider-Man, so now he can be involved with the Avengers. So they're starting to, like, seep that into the storyline with Tony Stark kind of giving him a little advice here and there on how to be a superhero. So that's, like, where the exciting part is for me. But you totally nailed it with the last one, the one right before this
one. Amazing Spider-Man.
Still had a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, people didn't really see it.
Even though it was probably good, I was still just like, nah.
So you did see it at least?
I did not.
Okay, so I suggest watching him. Like, I mean... Not to say that don't see the new one, like definitely see the new one. But honestly, if you get the chance to watch it for free or whatever, watch the main Spider-Man ones. They're actually, with Andrew Garfield, did a really good job, I thought. I thought it was actually pretty damn good. It was enjoyable to watch. This one, like, some people are like giving this one a lot of flack, going, oh, it's only going to survive on the weight of Tony Stark and fucking Robert Downey Jr. being Iron Man and Iron Man being in the movie. Disagree entirely. He's not by any means a dominating factor in the movie at all. Like, he's in it, sure. But I think probably total screen time for Iron Man in the movie is less than 5 minutes. Like, he is there, but he's not what the fucking movie's about. And I know a lot of Spider-Man growing up on different things and played different Spider-Man games and watched stuff. I'm not, like, huge in Spider-Man. I actually know the villain Vulture before. I didn't know who that was. I never heard of Vulture in the Spider-Man universe. That's who Dennis Quaid plays. And that villain, like, he did such a fucking good job. Vulture was badass, and as like any kind of working class American, like a blue collar type of guy, you're gonna relate to the Vulture, because it's just like it is, the basis of him becoming evil is just wanting to take care of his family, and wanting to fucking handle his business and work and create money for his family and shit.
Like,
so it's just a blue class guy who
like a Marxist, Marxism.
I disagree with that statement. Like, what? How do you mean?
It was just a bad joke.
Yeah, okay.
You blue-collar piece of shit. Spread the wealth, motherfucker.
I don't know things.
Karl Marx, whatever.
So Vulture was just really... It was bad. He was a badass villain. The movie was just... It was really, really fucking funny, too. Really good. Really fucking good. So, I mean, I honestly, of superhero movies that have been out, it's definitely up there for one of my favorites. It's fucking... it's a high-quality movie. It's really good. Gotta see it. Gotta see it.
Nice. I'm glad they're going with kind of like a... Not one, not a bad guy that they haven't used before.
Yeah, that was also pretty cool.
Just because there's like a million fucking bad guys, just like with any other superhero, mm-hmm. there's like a million bad guys for Spider-Man. And the only reason I know of the Vultures is because like stupid Spider-Man cards I used to collect back, you know, when I was a little kid, and him being on one of the cards, I can clearly see the picture in my head. But yeah, using those outside of the box characters makes it more appealing for me,
mm-hmm.
Just because it's not the same old recycled fucking the Sandman again, or fucking Green Goblin, or fucking whatever.
And that was the cool part about it, is like they did a good job of creating the timeline of it all, because like basically this is right after like let's see when
Uncle
it?
Owen dies. Emperor. That's gonna lead them back home.
Stupid.
No, like right after like the Infinity War or whatever, Stark Tower gets destroyed by all the robots and shit, and like with Loki, and like he's getting smashed in the ground by the Hulk. That's like in that timeline.
That's
right
Age
there.
Of Ultron.
Okay, so Age of Ultron, all that shit. Then so it's in that, it plays off of that. Of that's where the Vulture begins. Like he has a contract to clean up the city, and then Tony Stark's people, who like they hire a government agency to take over all of that, and that kicks him off the job, and he loses all his money, and all his workers and his family are gonna be like
so
dirt
poor. What it's doing
so that's
is
how he becomes the Vulture.
It's setting up Spider-Man to join the Avengers eventually, which is exactly what I want. Spider-Man's always been my favorite. I love the Avengers. I think the Avengers movies are really well put together.
Mm-hmm.
And
so to that point, like you being a Spider-Man fan, I'm telling you, don't pass this one up. Go see this movie. It's fucking good.
Nice.
Really good. A lot of funniness to it, and it's just good, man. It's really good. The other really cool part about it is we all know the Spider-Man origin story. We all know about Uncle Ben and Uncle Owen, whatever the fuck his name is. The rice maker guy. Uncle, you know, isn't the Uncle Ben that makes the rice? anyways, they don't go into the background story of his death. Like, it's already happened. It's already taken place. It's already moved past that. So you don't have to, like, spend an hour and a half learning Spider-Man origins. It is just jumping into Spider-Man.
So he's already, like, done the wrestling thing? Or did they kind of not address that?
No, they didn't address that.
I'm not joking. That's how he started.
Yeah.
He was a wrestler.
Not this time. Not this time.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Not this time.
No, it's past all that.
Okay.
This is after he went and helped out for Civil War.
Okay.
So, like, he's already gone and, like, stolen. You didn't see that one?
No.
So, you saw the trailer, though, where he jumps in and all of a sudden it's like, Spider-Man's here, and he steals Captain America's shield?
A little bit, yeah.
So, it's right after that. Right after that. Yeah, honestly, go fucking see it. It's Spider-Man Homecoming is really fucking good.
You've wooed me.
Yeah. I'll go see it with you again, dude. Like, it was fucking good. Another fucking flashback thing. I took my son to Chuck E. Cheese yesterday.
Oh my god. Wow.
Haven't been there in forever. And, you know, they've updated some games. Now they have some mobile games and arcade games. We've discussed how much bullshit that is now. But,
Fruit Ninja,
the pizza?
Fruit
greasy
Slicer?
As fucking ever.
Greasy as fuck, but delicious.
Oh yeah, this shit is so greasy, dude. Fuck, it's amazing. Yeah. That's where you just get the fucking paper towels and you're like, blah, blah, blah.
That actually leads to something I was talking about earlier was, there's a difference between diarrhea.
Water and poop.
The difference between diarrhea and pissing out your asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
I pissed the fuck out of my asshole that night.
You're all creased up, homie.
Oh, it came out nice and easy. It was a little lubed up. I wouldn't want to be down there, but it was like one of those ones you're sitting on toilet for 10 minutes, like knowing it's coming, but it hasn't come yet. Like not like the backup bulge that's of like the block is the dam isn't broke yet.
Yeah.
And suddenly it's like, badoosh, pissing out of your ass. Yeah, the tidal wave of diarrheal.
Sounds like urine.
Yeah. And like it feels like you're like, why am I pissing out of my asshole?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's an update on my
I'm always really impressed when that happens because I'm like, wow, this is like breaking laws of nature right now. I'm so impressed.
Like that video I showed you, that guy where he just bends over and like shoots his fucking shit 10 feet behind him.
Yeah.
Wipes once and walks off. Yeah, it was like that. But I was in on toilet because I'm not a fucking inhuman.
And you beast. Wipe more than once because
you have to.
Yeah.
Or you could like get a shower. Or
I was hose just off. Gonna say you just walk right to the shower after it.
Pipes go outside pipes. And hose it off with pipes is pipes.
Pipes is pipes.
To anybody doesn't pee in the shower, you're wrong. Pipes is pipes.
I totally peed on my girlfriend. Like, was it yesterday?
Go on.
Yes, please.
Just in the shower. I didn't want her to get in the shower with
did
me.
Did she know? It was a secret?
Oh no. She was like shampooing her hair.
Why is it warmer on my legs?
And then, she knew exactly what was happening. She pissed me off for some reason. So, I was trying to pee in the shower and I was like, hold on, don't get in until I pee. And then she kept like hitting my dick and I was like, I can't pee. And so I was like, fuck it, I'll hold on to it. And so as she's like, shampooing her hair, eyes closed, I'm just like stream all over the upper fucking thigh. Just, it was
wow.
Great.
She knew it then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And she slapped me. She slapped me. Oh, yeah.
So here's a question for you guys.
It's a fun relationship.
Yeah.
Has your chick ever peed back on you in the shower?
She's tried. She doesn't have, like, quite the aim, you know? I mean, you can only, like, lift up and, like, aim so much.
You got to push on just about the pussy area.
Right.
And lift it so, like, the urethra tracker,
what
like,
is
aims
this?
Up.
You telling us how to... Come on, just stop.
I'm trying to give him tips so he can teach his girlfriend how to pee back on him.
No. I mean, she knows.
I don't know. Maybe he's in the golden showers. I don't know.
She knows, but it's just...
She was in the Girl Scouts.
Hey, I'm a bro out, dude. You chill the fuck out. Read your Reddit.
She was in the Girl Scouts. I'm looking at the Dank Nug Zone.
Okay.
And I'm just seeing all the ideas for Cool Games, Inc.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to see some funny ones. The funniest one so far was... it was, are you there, God? It's a me, Mario. That was a fucking great one. He had... Tony Hawk's Pro Waiter, or Tony Hawk has to be a fucking waiter at a restaurant. It's all these puns and shit I'm looking at. There's a lot of other good ideas, but
is
I'm
it
like...
On, or is the list on Reddit or something?
Yeah, it's Reddit. You can just look up Reddit Cool Games Inc. Okay. And it'll have all like the zones where like it'll say like this is the one for this episode, and so you go on there and you fucking do that shit. It's a good time. It's a good time.
All right, real quick, my final two things for the week.
Yep.
I finally finished Stranger Things.
Jesus.
Really? You have not finished that fucking show? Dude, that show is so fucking
the
good.
The first six episodes, I watched like all back to back to back. Like, I sat there and indulged. There's eight episodes total in the season. Watched the first six, and I don't know what the fuck happened or what occurred or what sequence of things, but I never finished the last two episodes, and it's been months. So finally, I was like, you know what? The next one's coming out. I got some time tonight. Fuck it. I'm going to go ahead and binge watch all this season. Start from the beginning again, and finally finished the last two episodes. By the time the last one was almost over, I looked at him like, oh, Jesus Christ, it's fucking daylight outside. I didn't go to bed that night. I was like, fuck.
Oh, I guess I just got to start my day over.
But goddamn, this show was fucking good.
That show
is
so
Christ.
Good, dude.
That was super good.
I fucking
good.
Love that show.
So along those lines, I don't think I talked about it last time. I had got my friend's Hulu password, and I was watching a show called The Legion. I feel like I talked about this. Did I talk about it? Anyways.
You mean just Legion?
You like bitched on Twitter.
Yeah, just Legion.
And the one that it ran out.
So
talked up all about.
Yeah, he talked it up, and I had seen like parts of the first episode.
Me talk it up?
Yeah, you talked it up.
Never.
And so I watched like three episodes that night, and I was like, oh my God.
It hurt your brain, right?
I couldn't stop. I had shit to do the next day, and I was like, I can't stop watching. This is amazing. And then the next day, the licensing for Hulu to have that show fucking ran out. So I went to go look for it, and then I was like, it's not here. And so I just left with a cliffhanger, and I was just so...
Is there nowhere else to watch it?
I couldn't find another, like, free place to watch. I was just so pissed that...
Because like, now I'm saying you... Like, I don't really trust him all that much. So now you're saying you like it? I want to watch it.
Yeah, I would...
Don't watch it.
I would suggest it. It's one of those shows where you're like... Give me answers now, and they don't. But they kind of hint at shit.
You have to.
I'm okay,
you'll get all the answers you need, but it takes the whole series.
Yeah,
that's okay with me. That's good. That tells me good story writing.
You don't get all the answers. I mean, there's some at the end that like open up new questions, and then you need to.
Is this an encapsulated like one season series or
no? What's going on? Yeah, it's not even under the big shit yet. Yeah, it's gotcha. Fucking. There's a lot of I mentioned before. It's you have to go online. And look up like theories and you have to, close the book on a lot of things through other people's explanations and opinions, because the game, or the game, the show is like fucking deep, dude. Like, holy shit, it's a roller coaster for sure. So, yeah.
So my last thing, I don't know how it sprung to mind. I was in the shower, you know, you just start doing random thinking in the shower.
Yeah, shower thoughts.
Yeah, and so that's kind of where it sprouted from. Like, you know, kind of going back to as a baseline for origins was like in middle school and high school and stuff. But there's a paper I had to write. If I was actually interested in the subject and could get going on, I could actually write a pretty good paper. Like, I actually had some good thoughts put down and could turn like this one like half page essay that I was supposed to be due and turning like fucking three pages because I just happened to keep going on because I was interested in the subject. That being said, in the shower, I don't know where kind of like it just kind of hit me that to write like a book mostly for my son, but if somebody else ends up reading it or whatever,
we'll read it.
But well, that's the point. Like,
I need to correct the spelling.
There's autocorrect for that. Use a paperclip, dude. Microsoft. But the working title, and so I haven't really written anything yet. I've written down some like different quotes, things that are the subjects to go off of and go from there. Working title of it is either one of two things. Either it is An Asshole's Guide to Inner Peace or The Ideology of an Asshole, Lessons from My Father. And so it's just going to be kind of, I don't know, something to hand him when he's 16 and he's learning about women and learning about how to be a man and life. And I don't know. It's probably nothing, but it's just kind of like...
I'm interested in that.
Yeah, it's going to be a comedic kind of a thing. I mean, like, here's the very first thing I wrote down for a topic to go for.
Oh, God,
is a quote from my father that he told me at a very young age and to this day he says to me, "Son, if you can just be gay, life will be a lot easier." For my father, the romantic.
But why is that?
Because you don't have to deal with women that way.
I mean,
I think
gay women.
I think we've all said that in
yes,
our heads.
Yes.
I mean, us three, we've said it out loud multiple times. But that's a common
yes,
thought.
Yes, I'm not saying by any means. It's,
and at 16, but, you're not going to know that
yeah,
quite yet.
Exactly.
You're not going to know the horrors. Horrors.
And so it's really mostly like just a it's more of a. As I say, it's like more like to hit to my son kind of thing. It's also kind of thing too for me to write down for. I don't know, my father's still alive, but he's my, you know, I'm very close to my father, and so like the day he passes, I'll be able to have this thing I've already written out that will be something that I'll be able to like look back on and think about the different things he's taught me.
I like that too. Yeah,
my son.
I like that.
So
too.
It's mostly for myself and my son kind of thing, and you know, an honoring of my father and teaching my son shit. But it's gonna be because my dad's a fucking asshole, but he's the type of asshole that I am as well. We're assholes, but the people who know us love us. As we were very loving people, and we care about people we love about. And so, like, we're assholes, but if you know us, we'll do anything for
you.
Well,
that's one of our catchphrases, right? We're assholes who care.
Yeah. So it's just kind
of our fucking slogans for our.
Is now.
Maybe
it is now.
It is now.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe nothing. It's just kind of one of those things of like honoring my father to also help teach my son, also to have my gift for myself.
Make me fucking shed a tear right now, bro.
Honestly, after thinking of many of these things and being in the shower, like, I had fucking slight tears in my eyes thinking about my dad passing and shit like that eventually, which is not something I want to deal with. So yeah, let's move on.
I just thought
it was interesting.
Let's talk about some magic.
Dank nugs. I don't have any dank nugs.
No dank nugs. So we're gonna talk about some magic, and about, I'd say, 50% of the time with this podcast, we have no idea what we're gonna talk about. Nothing to talk about, and then we just fly out of the fucking crotchels of our pant sacks.
Crotchels.
And that's what we're going to do tonight, ladies and gentlemen. What magic have you guys been playing this past week? Let's start there. That's an easy place to start.
I built a new deck.
I built two.
Abzan Blink, essentially.
Is it standard?
It's modern.
Modern.
And it's like, you know, it's kind of...
Life gain. It's a life gain deck that you've seen, but it's... I don't have to take over your fucking thing, but if you play an MTGO, you play against life gain decks. It's that, but it's with the hot sauce flair to it.
Hot sauce flair.
So it's not
Restoration Angels.
I wanted to play End of the Battlefield effects with Panharmonicon, and so in modern, because Panharmonicon is not going to be able to get take down a top 8, but it's a fun card,
right?
And modern supports the End of the Battlefield mechanic pretty well with Flicker Wisp, Restoration Angel, and so on and so forth. So we can, just kind of play the little bit of toolbox, you know, as far, it could be where I can add some Court of Callings in there to get some, you know, when I need it type stuff, you know, if I need to get, like, the Reclamation Sage in there or whatever, if I need to get the scavenging ooze in there for graveyards if I need to just... But the main thing is just literally, like, Siege Rhino, you know? Yeah. And Kitchen Finks, and Beat Down Flicker Wisp, and then the Lone Missionary, one that gains you 4 life, and then Wall of Omens draws you a card. And with Panharmonicon, then you just get to fucking draw 2 cards and gain 8 life, and, it, you know, with...
So you're just going for long game. The longevity.
Well, the thing is, all the creatures are powerful and on curve. Like, a 3-1 flyer for 3 can win games. You know what I mean? Siege Rhino as a 4-5 on turn, possibly turn 3, with, like, you know, mana dorks or whatever. Like, that's a big dude.
Yeah.
I know Path's a card, obviously, but, I mean, still. If you're playing, like, the biggest thing on curve, that can win the game on the spot. But if those cards draw you cards and gain you life along the way, then that just gives you a true modern deck, in my opinion, rather than not just being... You know, whatever else. So
yeah, having played against it, like, yeah, it sounds like off the bat you're thinking like a mid-range late game kind of deck, but it's constant threats being played. It's like all creature based. It's barely
you're on the back foot.
Sorceries. You're constantly having to try to come back from it, and it's very in your face oppressive. And even if you get a chance to like kind of get ahead, all of a sudden he starts dropping life gain dudes and flickering them back, and next thing you know, he's back to 24 life, and you're going, now I've got 6 creatures on the field, and what the fuck am I gonna do right now?
Also, it's good against board wipes because I'm able to flicker things in response. I have Eerie Interlude to flicker any number of creatures. I can just choose any number I want to. So some cards, you know, you don't want to flicker, and some cards you do. Most cards you do, though. And it'll get rid of... So I can avoid board wipes pretty easily. And I have Eternal Witness to get shit back from the graveyard. And I also have, like, Kitchen Finks, which, you know, you have to kill twice. And shit like that. So there are...
Because it's twice as nice.
Twice as nice. So it's shit like that. So it just has, you know... A nice, rounded fucking feel to it. I don't know. It's a lot of the common things don't deal with it very well. You know, you'll come to that point where you have a path in hand, and you're looking at my open mana, and you're going like, I can't fucking path that thing. He's just gonna bounce it in response. It's gonna be a dead card. He's gonna have 2 creatures. I couldn't even take care of 1. And it's shit like that they have to deal with. You know, Fatal Push. You know, they gotta Fatal Push my 2-1 that gave me 4 life, or my 0-4 that drew me a card. Like, that's not fucking fun.
So it's value. Just value town. Yeah,
it's just value. Like I said, it's big creatures on curve that have a little bonus to keep you alive as long as possible. That's pretty much it. I mean, you've seen it before, but mine's not going for any infinite combos, and it's not playing, like, it's kind of like I'm going, the closest thing it's to is like a mono-white Emiria-type deck, if you know what that card is.
It just brings shit back,
you know what I mean? I'm not playing Emiria, but that may be like a thing I do in the future where all my lands, even though I'll be playing 3 colors, all of them have planes in the text, so it'll all work out. I can play shock lands, and I can play the
fucking love
battle lands and shit like that too, so.
Emiria or whatever.
Emiria. Yeah. So shit like that, you know, where it's just hard to deal with, and it's playing just, like you said, value creatures, you know? And the beatdown plan is not stronger than a true aggro deck. You know, my zombie deck is definitely faster than this deck, but my zombie deck also doesn't gain me life, and the recursion is like kind of a sometimes thing, where this is more reaction, so not just like dump it and see what happens. So.
Right.
So I think it's very strong. I think the deck's good. I mean, like I said, I don't think it's... I'm playing things that aren't necessarily going to hit top 8, but I do feel like it is right in that, like, between tier 2 and tier 3 range, where I could take it to a tournament and do okay with it, but never great with it, no matter how good of a pilot I am, you know?
Right.
But I can still... It won't just be... Not to be crude, but it won't just be Modern Mill or something like that, where, like, sometimes it just... You just can't get to the top 8 no matter what, because you're just going to get hosed by too many things. It's not
right. Good matchup for a lot of shit. There's too many answers.
Yeah, and this one is, like, a little more rounded.
It's not
rounded.
As narrow.
Yeah, it's not as narrow. It loses to combo, but, I mean, like, the other stuff...
Well, everything can lose the combo.
Right, exactly. So this one is just, you know, it's just more, a little more rounded. Has a little bit better take on the field, you know what I mean? I can play multiple decks and see if I can get away with it, you know what I mean?
Nice.
So, the only thing, biggest problem would be, like, you know, getting locked out from, like, attacking or something like that. You know, just like the fucking... what is that stupid card that, like, cards in hand, you can't attack, fucking bullshit. What is that one?
Oh, the bridge.
Yeah, and Snaring Bridge. Like, shit like that will fucking wreck me. Luckily, I can bring in, like I said, Reclamation Sages or something like that to take care of it. I'm playing green and white, so, like, you got a lot of good sideboard. Like, sideboard's really, really strong. I mean, it's basically the best colors for sideboard. Red, green, or green, black, white are, like, the best colors.
Oh, by the way, we had, like, a small debate, like last week, on whether or not Disenchant was modern legal. It is.
Just so you guys know. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I just watched a dude playing the blue light control on MTGO, and he played against an opponent who had disenchant to kill his detention sphere. So, yeah.
What the
so that's
fuck?
A little side note for us, whatever. Sorry to cut you off, but it just sprung to mind.
Yep.
Shocking. So.
Shocking. Besides that, I just kind of put together a Traxa commander deck, just like what I had. I'm not going to buy any cards. I don't have any fucking shock lands. I don't have, like, the good shit. The deck's not, like, going to be worth anything. I just brought it tonight because Stone Crow's going to get on his deck, and I wanted to just make sure I had something new to, you know, go against his new deck. So, it's just pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. Before I talk about my commander one, I actually made two new decks over this last time period in our last actual casting.
Oh, my ass.
I'm a big fan of Dimir, obviously. That's my favorite two colors, and I wanted to make a deck that was just those two colors. I wanted to stick into that, and from there I haven't made a legit control deck in quite some time, actually. So, looking at Frontier, I made a Frontier Dimir control deck that's actually pretty fucking good. It's won most of the matches, and most overall, it's got a high win rate in our current meta of the three of us, basically. It's playing two Metallurgic Summonings, which just, the rest of the deck is all instant sorceries, except for three Planeswalkers and fucking
I mean,
two Jaces.
Metallurgic Summonings makes the deck. If you did not have that, the deck would not have the legs that it does. Because when you play that, it's the clock,
mm-hmm.
the countdown to Doomsday begins.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I do also have Torrential Gearhulk, but yes, you're not incorrect.
Also,
in that.
Metallurgic Summonings with Dig Through Time and shit like that makes 8/8.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking gnarly.
And yeah. Torrential Gearhulks to flashback the.
Oh yeah, so I mean,
Dig Through Time.
Any given game, unless I lose really quickly to some kind of aggro thing, which I actually have play against. If that doesn't happen, then I'm typically per game casting at least somewhere between 4 to 6 Dig Through Times. Being flashback from Torrential Gearhulk and just casting themselves.
Or Jace.
So if you don't, like, this is, Metallurgic Summonings is a card when it was first spoiled. Like, this is, I love building around enchantments, and this is a card I went, okay, when I finally build that control deck, this is what it's going to be around or based with. So if you don't know Metallurgic Summonings, 3 blue enchantment, whenever you cast an instant sorcery, create an XS Codex Construct Artifact Creature Token where X is that spell's converted mana cost. Also has pay 3 blue exile Metallurgic Summonings. Return all instant sorcery cards from your graveyard to your hand. Activate this ability only if you control 6 or more artifacts. Now the deck is not anywhere other than making the construct artifact creatures from casting spells. Will never ever actually activate that part of it.
Right.
I'm not playing any other artifacts except for Torrential Gearhulk, which is an artifact creature.
You're just getting additional value off playing your spells, which are already good on their own, and
yeah.
Now you get to make creatures with them.
So I'm able to play, like, I'm playing legit 3 negates and 4 sensors. I'm playing the Dimir cycle lands, because that way
he's
I can draw
Essence Scatter.
Fetid Pools, Essence Scatters, Torrential Gearhulk. I mean, I'm a big fan of playing control decks. I get to play Radiant Flames. I'm playing 2 of those. Or not Radiant Flames, excuse me, Radiant Fountain. Playing a couple of those in there. And, you know, it's just been very good. I'm playing Crux of Fate and Aether Spouts. And, you know, disallow and whatnot. So, like, it's just been very good to sit there and just sit back and control. You got Fatal Pushes, a couple Planeswalkers, and just take over the board slowly. It's may not be, like, some exciting Super Brew or whatever, but it's actually been very good and a lot of fun to play.
It's obnoxious as fuck because it is the jam as many counterspells as you can to get to your win condition, which is Metallurgic Summonings,
mm-hmm.
and then...
And Torrential Gearhulk, though, because that card is fucking good.
5/6 Flasher.
Well, I mean, it...
The fact that gives me also, it's a flashback Dig Through Time for free, like, that is a big thing for me to be playing. Like,
that is huge, but it's not a win condition, you know what I mean? It's
I disagree.
Yeah,
I think,
mean,
that it's a win condition.
It
I've definitely... He's only got 2 Metallurgic Summonings. I mean, how is he going to win if he can never draws those? He should be playing 4 if that was the true thing, but he's not. Playing 2, maybe 3. Well,
I'm only playing
3 or something like that.
I was only originally playing 1 and decided it was so good.
I said, he was able to
2.
Counter and kill everything and beat down with 5/6. There's nothing I can do about it. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean, like, Torrential Gearhulks can just be killed. You know? Murder that motherfucker. Fine. But the rest of his deck is about cycling through the deck and drawing lots of cards and getting to the late game. 60%
of my deck every game. Like, unless I get killed early, like, I can see a lot of my deck.
So because of his counter spells, he's basically... getting a free draw the next turn, and so he's seeing a lot of his deck, and the Torrential Gearhulk just adds to that with the, you know, being able to cast a Dig Through Time again or something like that, And then so he finds those metallurgic summonings pretty easily, reliably.
Yeah.
I think there was one game, like the first game we played, where you didn't find it, and I was like, man, this deck fucking sucks. And then the rest of the games, he drew metallurgic summonings, and I'm like,
I can't win.
Oh, God. It's just these clocks fucking on. These board wipes kind of suck at metallurgic summonings on the board, you know?
At one point, you wiped them, like, oh, happy you wiped it, because you have blockers, and now, after you wipe everything, I'm a Torrential Gear Hulk, and then flashback, take the time, make a 5-6 and an 8-8, and you have nothing on the board.
Yeah.
And game over.
It's horrible. It's horrible. I can deal with the Torrential Gear Hulk. I can't deal with the Torrential Gear Hulk who comes into play, lets you draw some cards, and then makes a fucking 8-8. That's a little above my pay grade.
Yeah, value with that town. Deck. So, yeah, I really enjoy it. I'm very happy with it. There's sure probably some small tweaks to be done depending on how other decks are made against me here, but I'm very happy with it, and pretty happy. So after that,
it's probably the best Frontier deck you've made.
I agree. At the same time, I really do love my Mardu aristocrat style value deck, where it's hidden stockpile to throw the God Pharaoh to Impact Tremors. Like it's a lot of fun.
I think that fucking deck's super good too.
I think
also right up my alley.
The inclusion of the God Pharaoh fucking, what is that? The Tomb of the God Pharaoh?
Throne
of the God Pharaoh. That card fucking makes that deck.
That is like the epitome of a card I love. Like I love attrition based decks too. So that thing was just it just feels so good.
So with that and then fucking Impact Tremors and being able to sack shit and make more tokens and then
I'm also playing Zulaport Cutthroat, so I'm hitting you on the way in, hitting you when I attack, and then when I die, I'm hitting you again on Zulaport Cutthroat. So it's just this never-ending cycle of, if I get a chance to set up my shit, you're fucked. Like, inevitably, you're fucked.
I mean, that deck was good, but that gave it the extra reach of, oh, fuck.
I have an addition for the deck as well.
Okay.
Smuggler's Copter.
It's in there.
It is in there.
Yeah.
How many?
Two right now because I only own two.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'd play four.
Yeah, play four.
The card is fucking too good for that deck. Especially since at the end step, I can just literally tap every single one of creatures and crew up Thorn's Counter as many times as I fucking want to. And then without having to even attack, I can hit you with pinging damage from Throne of the God Pharaoh all the way across the board. So, yeah. I do play two.
Good.
I'd play more if I had them.
Yeah. It's like cruise everything. I mean, just your fucking... what is that? What did you say? Your fucking... The black dude, the 1-1 that...
Zulaport Cutthroat?
Yeah, Cutthroat, just fucking cruise that thing up, you know what I mean? And, like, that is a creature that shouldn't be able to do anything besides have its ability, you know what I mean, where ship dies and drains or whatever. But now it has the ability to fucking crew, do damage on its own, and then still have shit when it comes in and dies and this and that, and you get to sack shit. Like, that is a... Yeah, the deck, like, builds itself. There's so many good cards that work with it, you just literally throw four of everything in there that are the best of each thing, each category, and boom, you have a deck. It's fucking good. I need to like just get it on MTGO so I can just fuck around with it.
So, the other command deck I made was, as soon as the spoilers came out and Locust God was spoiled, which happened to spoil before the Scarab God, I called dibs. Because we have, between commander spoilers and then they come out, like, we all kind of like... It doesn't usually happen where we have like a, oh my god, like I have to get this one first, like no whatever it's going to be, but there's always like some particular one that two of us want to play with, so it kind of comes down to who called dibs on it. And the other person can make it, but it's kind of like we try to make different decks so people aren't, we don't have a small meta here. Yeah. We're trying to like overstep each other's feet.
Right, so like Hot Sauce made Atraxa, but he made a
different
drastically
style
different yeah. version
it's also
of
not
it.
A real deck. I'm just kind of like, I just wanted to play because I fucking own it, you know? That's all it really was.
Yeah.
I thought, like, my
plus,
next deck...
Plus, at this
deck,
point, my attraction deck is no more. Like, I've torn it apart.
Yeah. And I'm not... I'm not going to go crazy into it.
It was never that good. I mean, it was okay, but then, like, whatever, you know? To the point being is, I called Locust God and called dibs on it because I was just so excited about drawing cards and making 1-1s and going from there. Just fucking pretty stoked on it. So, Scarab God can get spoiled afterwards, which Knife Cult, which is another card that I fucking, like, Jesus Christ, that card's amazing. But I haven't had, like, besides my first deck I made, which is Una Queen of the Fae for Commander, which I had a lot of fun with that, which always made Knife bitch because I had too many counters going into him. Other than that, like, all the rest of my Commander decks have been subpar.
And it's not that I had too many counters, it's just I'm always on the fucking left of you when we play, so you fucking counter my shit first.
Oh, you're not wrong. So from there, though, I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit down, make a deck like this, and figure it out. And so far, we played like 3-4 games a day of it or whatever, and I had a pretty good solid win rate when I didn't get mana screwed or whatever. And I'm just very, very excited about it. And
for the first time and then sometime, I'm like, okay, now I have a commander deck that can be viable and play against, and I won't be upset when you guys want to play commander.
So, yeah, it's fucking 1/1s with haste, baby.
Fucking
good. The shit is dangerous. Also, having fucking Throne of the God Pharaoh out each game was pretty helpful, too.
So I'm playing Throne of the God Pharaoh, Impact Tremors, Purphoros, some of the obvious ones. I do have Intruder Alarm with a couple other cards that kind of like are infinite combos until you draw your deck. However, we do have personal meta rules of if you have the infinite combo in your deck, you can only do it like 3 times or so. So that nobody's like going, fuck
we're
you.
We're just not trying to have infinite combos because we're all trying to have a good time here. If we got to just fucking lose in the spot, it's like, why do we even build up our board in the first place? You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're not trying to play fucking, Commander 1v1 leagues on Moto and shit where people get all crazy.
So, I mean, the deck is just fucking good, man. It's fun. I mean, it's incredible. The last game we played, the game ended with me winning, and I had, not even counting the Locusts I had on the field for creatures, I had almost 15 permanents on the field between artifacts and enchantments and shit. So I'm not playing a whole bunch of sorceries and instants that draw me cards. I'm playing continual recursion draws, like Alhamarat's Archive, and Monastery Siege, and all kinds of things that give me value. I'm playing, you know, Howling Mine, which gives them cards too, whatever. Howling Mine, Fevered Visions, let's see, what are the ones? Dictative Crucifix. You know, got the Consecrated Sphinx, obviously. I mean, the deck kind of, it's just fun, man. I mean, I'm just sitting there, all I'm doing is drawing my card. To the point where I have like 3 cards in my deck that are there just to make sure that if I'm going to deck myself, I can get my library back into my hand. I'm playing like 5 or 6 different things that allow me to have a no max hand size. And so it's just fucking fun. Hopefully I'll sit down and actually make a deck list for it. I'm still tweaking a bit. But a couple of cards that I'm like super excited about are like Open Into Wonder, which is from Amonkhet for X and double blue. Sorcery, X target creatures can't be blocked this turn until end of turn those creatures gain. Whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, draw a card. So I give X to my 10 locuses. They can't be blocked. They all attack in. They hit you for 10. They draw me 10 cards, which makes 10 more locusts. And then at the end step, the Throne of the God Pharaoh, or the 10 locusts come in, Impact Tremors hit you for 10 more. Then at the end step, Throne of the God Pharaoh, I have 10 more creatures tapped. Then you get hit. Each opponent gets hit for 10 more. So, like, building the deck. You out of here, bud? Building the deck. I was in my head, I'm thinking, okay, I'm kind of building for more of a mid-late game, like, you know, kind of wondering, that's why I have all those extra cards, you know, bring my graveyard back into my hand and shit. But playing it, like, half-building it and whatnot, I was like, you know what, this deck might actually be more aggro than I think it is. And actually playing the games, it turned out that way. Being able to fucking play cards like Well of Ideas, which is an enchantment where I enter the battlefield, draw 2 cards, then each opponent draws an extra card on their draw step, but I draw 2 additional cards on their draw step. Every upkeep, I'm drawing 3 cards. And then I also happened out on the field with that one was Almar's Archive. So every upkeep I was drawing 5 cards, making 5 locusts, and the deck just gets out of hand pretty quickly.
And drawing cards is the best thing ever.
Yeah.
All right, I'm out of here. Thanks for everything, listeners. You're the best. And I guess these 2 goons as well. Later.
Night, goodbye, hot sauce.
I don't know how fucking late it was. I was like, oh, I need to get fucking
peace. So, now that he's gone too, I'm gonna talk about a couple more of the spicier cards that you hadn't seen yet.
All right.
So, first off, between having Purphoros and Impact Tremors on the field, this is a card that I played back in Dragon's Tarkir Standard because I'm a big fan of token strategies and whatnot. And so between Impact Tremors or even Purphoros at one point, this card I think was still viable. I played, and token strategies, I played a card called Descent of Dragons. You may not know it. You probably never saw it played too much. When I played in those decks, it was a 1 or 2 of, and when it went off, it was like, fuck yeah. Descent of Dragons, 4 double red, sorcery. Destroy any number of target creatures, mine or theirs. For each creature destroyed this way, its controller puts a 4/4 red dragon creature token with flying onto the battlefield. Now, if you think about that, let's say at a base level, let's say I have 10 locusts, and I have Impact Tremors or Purphoros on the field. I mean, I get to destroy my 10 locusts, make 10 4/4 dragons, have 10 more triggered into the battlefields on Purphoros and Impact Tremors, and just go, okay, what do you got? Because right now you're either dead or you're about to be dead, and if you don't have a board wipe in your next turn, if you happen to survive, then I'm attacking you with 10 4/4 dragons.
It's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
So I'm just a big fan of this card, so it felt good to go like, oh yes, I can play this card again, and this is gonna be fucking fun when I drop it. Another cool spicy one is Breath of Fury for 2 double red enchantment aura, enchant creature you control. When an enchanted creature does common damage to a player, sacrifice it and attach Breath of Fury to a creature you control. If you do, untap all creatures you control, and after this phase, there's an additional combat phase.
Boo.
Again, if I get a bunch of fucking all these locusts, I can just keep attacking to put the, you know, sacrifice and put on another creature. And I have cards like Biden of Thassa. Whenever a creature you control deals common damage to a player, you may draw a card. Well, that itself is a fucking combo that is never. It's a game-ending combo to itself. I just kind of realized right now, because if I have Biden of Thassa on the field, I play this on like several of the fucking locusts and do damage. I draw cards. Those locusts have flying and haste. And so, like, now the next one goes to the next guy, I'm drawing more cards, putting more creatures on the field, attacking with Alma again, and, like, if I hit those two cards right there, there's another infinite combo that is kind of a attacking combo with it that I don't think will be banned in our play group, because Hot Toss has done that before in many different iterations. This was, like, this is my Hot Sauce Commander card. Like, this is the type of bullshit he likes to pull on us. So I was like, you know what? Fuck Sauce. He's gonna take it in the ass this time himself. And that was that card.
Yeah, he is.
The other fucking like fun spicy one I thought was pretty sweet, which I'm glad Hot Sauce isn't gonna know about. I'm talking about this deck, and you can go and know about it, which is cool. But I'm all the more happy to hit him with it, especially the first time. Burn at the Stake, 2 red for a sorcery. As an additional cost to cast Burn at the Stake, tap any number of untapped creatures you control. Burn at the Stake deals damage to target creature or player equal to 3 times the number of tapped creatures. Boom, burn you for 30? Burn you for more than that? This deck is fun, man. I actually excited about playing Commander now. I will be bitching less when you guys want to play it. That was one of my favorite parts of when I had my Una deck, was being able to draw so many cards. And now I've transferred over many of those cards for drawing that were like instant sorceries, stuff like that, to now having all these enchantments that just get me to continue to value, like Rising Study, which is a staple, obviously. And just keep drawing cards and do all their shit and go... Yeah, you're dead. So, I mean, the Locust God is just stupid good, man. And the fact that it comes back to my hands, I'm the first Command deck I've ever built that is not playing Swiftfoot Boots or the Shroud cards or any of those artifacts that make it so you can't target him. Go ahead and fucking kill him. Unless you exile his ass, he's going to die, and instantly back to my hand. I'm only paying 6 mana for him ever.
It is pretty horrible that they invented these cards.
Like, it's so broken. It's so broken for that fact of it. Like, you can board wipe all you fucking want. It's not going to take me very long to reset up. I'm not having to go to 8, to 10, to 12, to 15, to 14 to hopefully get back in the game. I'm playing 6 mana to be back in the field.
I have drawn more cards. I haven't even heard anybody talk about this, but I have a sneaking suspicion that those are going to be banned as commanders. You can still put them as part of the 99, but just the fact that you get around the commander tax and a lot, like, especially the Scarab God and this god, the Locust God, they're just so fucking good. They're so good.
Dude.
And, like, with this god, like, you just draw cards. So basically it's the, I was trying to think of his name earlier. There's a commander out there that cares about drawing cards, and then whenever an opponent draws a card, they take life or something like that.
You mentioned it. I don't know the card. It's not on the top of my head. So
anyways, it was part of the like original commander set like a long time ago. Anyways, and then like the zombie god, like that, you can just recur zombies all day. Like, how is that not fucking unfair? So I think that they're going to ban them as commanders. But right now, this deck... Just the fact that the locusts have haste.
Oh god,
that is super broken.
My god,
that is broken as fuck. Because not only can you attack right away, but there's just so many other things you can do that involves tapping them, or the fact that you do attack and they're flying, so they have evasion, and then that throne of the fucking
God Pharaoh.
It's just like, oh, I attack you for 14, and you take 11 more, or each player takes 11 more after that. So that is, let's just say that we try not to gear our decks towards the meta exactly. You know, we try not to.
It is kind of a thing that we do. Like, we all know
the type of players that we either ones are. And we all seen other decks, and we all go like, okay, I can put this card in the deck specifically because he plays those cards. And it's like a hoser card, and it kind of... You can fuck the strategy. And I feel like that happens a little bit more in Commander, but it is in a general sense for our meta. We play as if we're building decks. We build decks as if we're playing as against an FNM meta. I guess we're playing against other players.
Yeah, as if we don't know who we're playing against.
And that may be like a personal choice or a style, but we feel like it's just right. Like, we don't want to... Because it keeps the game fun. It keeps it more legit.
Because there's multiple cards you can play in all of your decks that just, you know, destroy all artifacts, or artifacts come in tapped, or they don't untap, or like something like that, where it just fucks my Brea deck.
Like,
you know?
Put it this way, like Hercule's Recall. That is a card that I was like, that would just rape Night City's artifact deck. And there's been multiple times where I almost played it, because it, being Commander, is still viable to play against anybody else. Everybody's going to play artifacts.
Yeah.
However, I wasn't going to play it without him playing that deck. Right. And then there's been multiple times where I build decks, and I'm like, oh, Hercule's Recall is really good against his Brea deck. And I haven't done it.
Right.
I decided, because I wasn't going to put it in there in the first place, even though other artifacts are there, I'm like, you know what? For a morality standpoint for our meta, for how we play this game, to not skew our meta to playing against only each other, I am not putting Hercule's Recall deck in any deck that in general that I'm playing just to fuck his one deck. Like, no.
Right.
That's not going to be a thing.
And there's, you know, like, other times we can put in cards that don't completely fuck the other deck. So, like... sometimes the guys will put in what's that one artifact that puts shovels the graveyard back in?
Elixir of Immortality.
Yeah, Elixir of Immortality. That's like that's the joke of our group that's the hate card specifically for me,
because
I love Mill, and so everyone like has one. Everyone knows where it is. Everyone's gonna put it in a deck.
So that was like the one one partial stipulation to that to our con about that. Like, there's every rule, like you being a punk as well, you know, every rule has a fucking dissenter to it, exception to the rule.
Right.
So, like, the only reason I feel like that card is one that gets played in sideboards for things is because of Tiny Leaders. Because our Tiny Leaders games, we build it, we have, like, you know, Standard or Modern or anything like that. We build decks that aren't tier one. We build fun decks to play. In the King of Tiny Leaders, we built the nastiest things we can fucking build. Like, yeah. We're full bore on it. That is our quote unquote, that is our legacy.
That is our
I am playing this and I'm raping you in the fucking asshole unless you have an answer right now. That is our, we are making our deck 100% as much as we can.
Yeah,
to be the tiered one deck of Tiny Leaders.
Yeah, we don't take out any of the stops for Tiny Leaders. We don't build, you know, 75% decks. You know, my sideboard is filled with stuff that's just going to fuck his elves over or fuck Hot Sauce's deck over. So
that's like the one variation, like the Elixir of Vitality and like that style of, because we're not playing other people's Tiny Leaders, and we've built Tiny Leaders to be so strong that if we don't have that card,
it's not gonna be
we're not going to win that game.
Yeah.
The sideboard game, like, any one of our decks can beat any other decks. That's the other cool part about it. They're so good, but they can all...
Any given...
Not one deck stomps the shit out of the other one, no matter what. Like, they're all playable against each other.
Right.
However, if you don't have these trump cards, and they bring in their trump cards, now... there's very little chance you're winning. So that is like the one form we play where we actually play into our meta.
And like, I have a mill deck, commander deck, but the like main strategy isn't necessarily mill. It's part of it and it can be a win condition, but there's so many other ways for me to win that them putting in one, why do I always forget the name?
Elixir of Immortality.
One Elixir of Immortality doesn't really fuck the deck over, you know, or just like anything that like fucks the graveyard. As long as it's not like shitty and repeatable, you know, like Hot Sauce threw in Rakdos Charm into one of his decks and he was able to exile Crow's graveyard when he was playing zombies. Yeah, that's only, you know, one card.
It's a thing,
he can't, I mean, there is ways to get it back, you know.
Because that's what he does.
The Rakdos charm back from the graveyard. But for the most,
like Bajuka Bog or Relic Progenitus gets played sometimes. We don't really play Grafdigger's Cage in our Commander games.
Yeah, so basically it's like, sure, like you kind of fucked me, but I'm just going to rebuild from here. So it's not that big of a deal.
It's like board wiping your graveyard. Like, you know, you just have to rebuild. It is what it is. So, I mean, like, dude, you haven't seen it yet, but me getting to play my foil Jace the Mind Sculptor that I pulled in this deck, like... I mean, like, Hot Sauce talked about earlier, we weren't casting yet. He talked about, like, he's not, in general, he's not a big Planeswalker guy overall. But he's even less so in Commander.
And I see his mindset because there's so many times that things, big things have trample or they get killed off before they can really do much. And that happens a lot. I feel like in this deck, I'm only playing three Planeswalkers at the moment. Jace the Mind Sculptor, Chandra Flamecolor, and Dak Faden. Jace gets the Brainstorm on zero every time. So I'm putting, every time I zero him, I'm putting three more fucking Flying Locusts on the field, which means I have three blockers.
Yeah, it's more...
And I don't... they have hits and attack, sure. But unless you have big tramplers, which I may still be able to block depending or so, but unless you have a big trampler, I have a chance of him actually surviving for a minute. Because there isn't, like, targeted Planeswalker removal. Like, not really.
Yeah, so. You took out Hero's Downfall out of your first deck because it wasn't... turned out not to be all that great. But the thing is, like, Jace in that, in this particular deck... it has synergy with with what you're trying to do. Yeah. So it's not like I'm just throwing any Planeswalker in here and it's going to be just try and get value out of it. It's synergistic with the deck. And, you know, Planeswalkers aren't necessarily the most powerful in Commander. But there's certain ones, you know, like Vraska. Any deck I have that's running black-green, I will put Vraska in there.
I like her too, man.
But just because her minus is amazing, and and if I can ultimate her, I think that's fucking hilarious, and I will try to do that. But for the most part, I'm going to minus her. And same with, like, Ashiok. Like, Ashiok's not going to...
That is, like, I think for you as well. I'm going to speak for you in general, but I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Ashiok is my... single favorite underrated or underplayed or not on the obvious power scale of Planeswalkers. Planeswalker, like Ashiok, I love playing Ashiok. Any deck I can viably play him in, I play Ashiok. I just love the card. And like, yeah, there's a lot of like, it's weird because there's a lot of lower power levels to that card, but somehow it's so good.
Like in a more controlling Commander deck, if you play that on three and people aren't like, you know, people are setting up for the first like 3-4 turns. So if you play that on three, people are like, okay, that's kind of a pain in the butt, but whatever. Yeah. And then it starts going and then it starts to become a target.
Then
so,
you hit their Maelstrom Wanderer and they're going, oh my God, no, no.
Yeah, so it's like, it has that Planeswalker equity is what it's called, where that is taking so much attention away from everything else that they're making suboptimal plays just to get off that off the battlefield, even though, like, the ultimate isn't even really going to do much, you know, in that particular situation, or even, like, minusing to put, like, I think last game I was, like, you know, it was, like, had 8 counters on it, and I was, like, you know what? In this situation, I think I'm just going to minus 2 and put a Baleful Strix on the battlefield.
Oh, well, you drew a card, and like I think at that point, too, you were also about to be under pressure from him because he knew he was going to come at you because you also had just his Maelstrom Wanderer, and so you knew he wasn't going to want you to play that, so you knew he just got some creatures he's about to attack you with that you're like, well, just in case he's able to kill this thing, I'm going to get some value, get a 1-1 Death Touch, or kill one of his creatures he throws at this thing, and draw a card.
So yeah,
it was you know, it was a viable play. It wasn't just like whatever.
Yeah, and he's not attacking me, so that's like where the equity comes in. Yeah. People get preoccupied with. That's why I loved playing fucking Liliana of the Dark Realms. She does fucking shit all, but for some reason people are like, "Oh no, I have to get her off the board." I'm like, "Cool, I just really wanted one more swamp so I could play my Jace."
Here's
so
my 4 mana swamp, 5 mana, 4 mana.
4 mana.
4 mana. Here's my 4 mana tutor swamp. Yeah. Swamp tutor.
But people just get all up in arms about it, and it was just great. So, yeah, there is that mentality of Planeswalkers aren't that aren't the best to play in Commander, but if they're going along with your strategy or they're kind of like a toolbox Planeswalker, then, you know, throw them in the deck.
I mean, that's why, like, you know, from there, Jace Mind Sculptor, obvious reasons. And then Chandra Flamecolor, her plus one gets me elementals. Well, that helps my Perf Frost, my Infect Tremors, and general attacking. But really, the main reason she's in here is for her zero ability to discard all cards under my hand, then draw that many cards plus one. I mean, most of the other builds I'm kind of seeing around have a lot of these wheel effects and a lot of, like, doing that. And that's... I do have multiple of that in my deck. But it's not... I'm not trying to, like... I don't like having to, like, forcefully go, I'm playing this card, and get rid of all my hand. Because there's so many times I'm like, I don't want to get rid of that card.
Yeah.
So, like, I am playing Reforged Soul. It's the miracle card where each player discards their hand and draw 7 cards or whatever. But, like, you know, and Chandra. And then I'm playing... what's that? Suspend card with the wheel on it. Suspend it for 1 and a red
wheel
for
of fate,
4 turns.
Wheel of Fortune. Wheel of something. Jeopardy.
Something like
that.
Is
it a jackal? It's a jackal.
It's a jackal. Yeah, you nailed it.
But yeah, and then from there, Dak Faden, target player draws two cards, discards two cards. There's my two, two more locusts. On top of that, though, minus two can gain control target artifact. There's always artifacts in fucking Commander. So
yeah.
These are the three I'm playing. I feel like I actually viably defend them for one, and all three are very synergistic for my deck.
Yeah, you can do a better job of defending them than...
I don't have Shaheely Rye in here just because. I'm sure I'm playing artifact, but not for enough value to play Shaheely Rye.
Right.
So, the deck is a lot of fun, man. A lot of fun. If you're looking for phono play, because I love drawing cards, and I think that's one of the most important things in Magic. And from there to make a deck that all you do is draw cards... Holy shit. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, like, it's pretty obnoxious.
I'm surprised at the amount of creatures I'm actually playing in here. I was like, wow, I'm actually playing like 13 creatures? Like, why am I doing that? But I am, because like things like Niv-Mizzet, the Draconis, which is the one where you just play red and a blue, and whenever it deals damage to a player, you may draw a card. Red and a blue, Niv-Mizzet does Draconis, deals one damage to a creature or player. Well, I need to go, ping you for, you know, pay two, ping you for one, draw a card. Get a Locust. Attack you for that one Locust as well. You know, there's no, you know, ifs, ands, or buts about that. I'm playing Merfolk Looter in Commander, dude. Because along with that, I'm playing Arconis, the Omnipotent. I think that's his name. He was just in the Modern Masters recently.
And we all appreciate that you're playing Chasm Skulker.
Yes, that's what I'm playing right now. That has been, we've told us in the cast, like, that is one of my favorite cards that doesn't get, I don't get a chance to play much. Whenever I get a chance to play it, I try to play it.
Yeah.
I love the things it can do. It happens to not work all that very often, but I love the card. What it's there.
It's just one of those cards that you try and force from time to time. Just like
I think we all have those cards.
Ojutai's Exemplars, you know, for me, I try and force it whenever I can. And, you know, sometimes it works great, sometimes it doesn't, and that's fine. And, like, there's a great synergy with your deck where if you can get Chasm Skulker up with enough counters on it, you can sack it to the altar.
I am playing Ashnod's Altar.
Ashnod's Altar, and then that triggers, Impact Tremors or Purphoros, and then, you know, most decks that we play, about 50% of them, run blue in it, so you're going to be able to get through pretty easily because they have Island Walk, and it's just, you know, it's good value.
And so we talked about, like, infinite combos before and how we kind of have a house. Our basic house rule is if you have an infinite combo in your deck, you can't activate it more than three times, just so that it's, you know, you're getting power out of it, but it's not game-ending. People can still play the game. So the reason I'm playing Merfolk Looter, along with Arcanist the Omnipotent, is they both say Merfolk Looter, draw a card, and then discard a card, so you loot. Arcanist the Omnipotent is a legendary wizard, 3/4, for 3 and triple blue. It says, tap, draw 3 cards, or pay 2 and double blue, return it to your hand. So tap, draw 3 cards, and Merfolk Looter, like, those are fucking awesome for my Locust. Well, I'm also playing Intruder Alarm. So, whenever a creature ends, if creatures don't tap their untap steps, whenever a creature comes into play, untap all creatures. It means I can Arcanist on the draw 3 cards, it taps, I draw 3 cards, play 3 Lotus, 3 Lotus enter the battlefield, it untaps, I can just fucking do that as many times as I want till my deck's gone.
And that's horrible.
But because of us playing a legit game, we're not like doing only infinite combos. I'm not playing things like Laboratory Maniac, which a lot of these decks are playing now because you can do things like that. Right. Because I'm not trying to go infinite combo into draw my deck and kill you with a maniac. But I'm just doing things like that for, you know, value wise, you know, doing Chasm Skulker in the deck and Jenga Taxus Koragr, that fucking the creature praetors, which I almost want to ban the fucking legendary praetors because that green one is just so oppressive that Hot Sauce plays.
Oh, the
where
your
lands on untap and he gets double tap lands. Like, that card is fucking bullshit.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, like, but Jenga Taxus Koragr for 8 and double blue, legendary praetor for 5/4 body with flash. At the beginning of your end step, draw 7 cards. Got 7 more lotuses. And I'm playing 5 different effects that give me no max hand size. It also says that each opponent's maximum hand size is reduced by 7. So that card's an asshole. Like, that is a fucked up card, and I know it. Which is why I'd be okay if we ban the praetors, personally. But until then, it's in the deck. My God.
I mean, I like the black one. I play it in almost every black deck, so.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
You know, and Consecrated Sphinx, because it's a blue deck, and on top of that, has super synergy with the deck.
Yeah.
So.
It's a horrible deck, and
yeah,
it's one of those decks.
Oh, dude, Psychosis Crawler. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah, I don't think.
This 10-cent rare that everybody fucking has, and most people don't really pay attention to, that's okay for limited. 5-mana artifact, star. Psychosis Crawler's power toughness, each equal number of cards in your hand. And whenever you draw a card, each opponent loses 1 life. So basically, this becomes another Impact Tremors effect for me.
because I'm playing, you know, like I said before, Well of Ideas, fucking, oh my god, that, the enchantment from Cons, where you're going to draw two cards on your upkeep and discard one, Monastery Siege, fucking, Windfall, Thought Reflection, Rhystic Study,
yeah, Temple, so you're Bell, just, you're just drawing cards like nobody's business.
Gaia Reach Sanitarium, Desolate Lighthouse, Skull Clamp. My god, Skull Clamp with Ashen of the Altar with all the Locusts, too. That's another combo.
Yeah.
Dictated Crew Fix. I mean, Kami of the Crescent Moon. I'm playing Kami of the Crescent Moon in this deck, dude. All I want to do is draw cards.
Yeah. And so, like, against. Not only is this deck pretty fucking good, and mostly consistent as long as you're drawing lands, it's also a deck where I wouldn't feel super bad about throwing some hate cards in there, because drawing extra cards in Commander, every deck wants to do that. Every deck has some sort of form of doing that. Mm-hmm. So it's really a general theme to where we already run, like, Notion Thief in most of our Dimir decks, and I forget, but there's maybe, like, one or two other cards that we already fucking, like, run in decks. So to have those cards in our decks, and they're not, like, super annoying for you to get rid of. Like, you can get rid of, you can counter them or you can kill them. Pretty easy to get rid of them. It's not like they're artifacts or enchantments. They're just creatures. You can get rid of them. So for the most part, I wouldn't feel bad about putting a couple answers to drawing extra cards in one of my decks. You know, not that I'm gonna load it up because specifically against your deck, but the deck is that good to where I'm like, okay, you know, I might throw in, was it the Hushwing Griff?
Okay.
Is that the one you flash it in? And
the battlefield. Wait, so it, where you can't search? Or Hushwing Griff is, and the battlefield effects don't happen.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was thinking of the one where you can only draw one card per turn.
Yeah, that's one you brought before. I don't know the card.
Okay, well, it's just another white fucking hate card like that, two or three mana. So I wouldn't feel like super bad about putting a couple of those cards in, just because it's not a narrow thing you're trying to do. It's a thing a lot of decks try and do, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't, like,
that's the same thing like Hercule's Recall. Like, it's a card that I wouldn't feel bad playing because of all every deck has artifacts in every commander.
Right.
However, like, I made the personal choice to not specifically go after you with that. I think that's part of the goal. The part of the goal when you're building a new commander deck in our personal meta, at least for us, is you want to make a deck that forces the other guys to go, well, fuck me, I have to make changes now. But to a point where you're not trying to hate that deck, but you have to bring in some hate for that deck, otherwise you're not going to win. You have to, like, build around enough to change your deck to, you know, update it to have a play against it.
Yeah, we're not.
Like, I don't want you to make any changes, believe me. I want my deck to fucking go off every goddamn game. But I feel like it's part of our, at least that's for me, that's part of one of the goals is going, like, making a deck that's viable enough that you guys have to fucking make changes.
Yeah, and it's not like we're changing out five cards or more, you know, it's gonna be,
except,
like,
for before we played Game One with Sauce, the first thing he says to me, he goes, as soon as you told me you're making that deck, I already changed out four cards in this deck. Like, okay, fuck you, dude.
So, I mean, you know, he, like, basically went up to the maximum of, like,
I know. Four cards. He's like, right off the bat, he's like, yeah, I already made four card changes to hate on your deck. I'm like, okay, thanks, bro.
And
like, he brought in that Notion Speed because he doesn't play that until he knew I was playing this deck.
Yeah.
And things like that.
And I just love that card anyways. I used to play it in Standard. So, yeah.
Yeah, you, I understand him. Him, not so much.
The deck is horrible. It's oppressive. And I can't wait till they ban that commander.
It's super surprising how, like, actually aggressive it is, and how you can actually win pretty quickly with it. I was, like, you know, surprised by that in the sense that I had several cards in here that, you know, get so I can, like, I'm not going to mill myself. I can bring my graveyard back to my library and reshuffle it, because I thought it was, you know, building. I was thinking it's going to go longer. I think after this, I'm going to tweak it down to not have as many of those because it actually gets pretty aggro.
Really, yeah, there's not really a need for it. Yeah, in theory, when you think about the deck, you think about, oh yeah, I wanna go longer, I wanna be able to draw, like, all my cards and be able to do this and do that. And
but it doesn't take me that long to draw so many cards.
Yeah, you draw enough. I mean, you're already getting one locus per turn, you know, just for your draw phase, and so.
But I'm playing.
And,
like,
and you're having
30 cards specifically just for drawing.
And you have multiple cards that when a creature enters the battlefield does damage. Are you running the Warstorm Surge? It's like the 6 mana equal to creature's power. Anyways, it's another.
I think I've seen it, but I don't own it. So okay. No.
I mean, it would just be like another idea, but I mean, at this point, it's not necessary.
Because I mean, like, part of the thing with this deck right now, for going into today, is before you guys changed out and made some hate for it, is I knew that afterwards I was going to change a couple of things to adjust to what you guys are going to do to me. Because I know, like, things like Souls of Night's Betrayal, the legendary enchantment, that gives my creatures -1/-1. Like, things like that, like, they're going to make my creatures go, oh, you got 1/1s? Well, you don't have shit now. You know what I mean? Like, to play against fucking Elish Nor or things like that. Like, so I know I'm going to have to make changes, but to that point, I already have, like, Obelisk of Urd and Hall of Triumph and things like that set aside. And, like, even to that point, if it gets really deep, if I really have to change up, I can do, like, you know, Adaptive Automatons and give myself a Lord, or Metallic Mimic to give them counters and things like that.
Ooh,
so,
I do have... What's, like, that, what's already, that new 2-mana guy?
Metallic Mimic.
Yeah, you have him in there?
Yeah. Well, not right now.
You should.
I will.
Oh, that's horrible.
Because...
Oh, my God. Oh, wait, you're not first, playing.
Like,
you're not playing
what happened so far... is I didn't need to fuck my guys up.
Right, right.
One of the things I did, I actually am playing, that you didn't see yet either, I didn't talk about, was, let me pull it out right here, Teleportal. Red and a blue, sorcery. Target creature you control gets +1/+0 until end of turn. It can't be blocked. It can't be blocked this turn. However, it has overload for 5.
Of course it does.
3 and a blue red. All my creatures get +1/+0 and can't be blocked. That's another one of my, like, okay, you're fucked.
Horrible.
So you didn't see that yet, but again, that's another one. I have a couple cards that are like, if I need to put throw damage and like pump them into it and like just fucking kill off in one turn, I can do that. But I didn't want to be the guy who like just bent for the super pump. I wanted to just draw cards, dude.
Right.
Just want to draw cards. And I have Westville Abbey in this thing to fucking make the fucking demon. And I'm playing Day's Undoing is one of the cards to fucking bring shit back. I mean, Nor and the Wary, because I'm a big fan of that card when it comes to Impact Tremors and shit. So I mean... Dude, I'm just...
Yeah, it's a good deck. Needs very little tweaking. I'm happy that you got us so salty about it.
Me too.
Because there was definite salt ions floating in your direction.
Dude, another one I'm playing that maybe have like, not like full synergy with the deck, but it's a blue card that as soon as it was spoiled, I was like, I want to play that commander. And I built a blue deck since then and didn't put it in. I ended up cutting it. And this time I was like, you know what? Fuck it, no matter what, I'm playing this. Mind's Dilation for 5 double blue. Enchantment. Whenever an opponent casts her first spell each turn, that player exiles the top card of his or her library. If it's a non-land card, you may cast it without paying its mana cost.
It's horrible.
I mean, it's just a dick.
Stop it.
But I'm gonna cast more cards and do more things. Drawing my own deck isn't enough. I want to draw yours. So yeah, I mean, obviously we kind of babbled on about this a little bit longer than most decks we talk about. I'm just very excited about it, man. I mean, it did very well today.
Well, what you should do when you go home tonight is put that on Tapped Out, because that is an awesome deck list, and we have links to our Tapped Out accounts in the show notes, and you can check out. Speaking of decks on Tapped Out, specifically Commander, I believe it was last episode Hot Sauce had issued a challenge to us.
Really?
Since we kind of, or at least me... I know I build a lot of commander decks on MTGO.
Oh, okay.
And I start to get a little bored just because, you know, there's those staples in each color and you start just throwing them in because they're good. And then, like, and that's part of, like, what gets boring to me and I know to you also is that.
Oh, for sure. I mean,
just like the best
to
of.
To that point, like, just like yesterday, Saffron Olive, actually, under his Rogue Deck Builder, which is. He did it on Rogue Deck Builder because Rogue Deck Builder, which I'm a big fan of, that's still Saffron Olive.
But
that's
so.
Not him associated with MTG Goldfish.
Okay.
So he did it under that account, not just his own name. So he did it on Rogue Deck Builder. He made a comment like, so Wizards, when are you going to ban all these extra deck lists being put up by EDH Rec because it's ruining the meta? It is solving the meta.
Well, I mean, you can't really stop that, though.
I know. Well, I think he's making some kind of point about the amount of... It's when he rebuttaled with... It's just people putting their decks on Tapped Out. And he rebuttaled with something along the lines of, like, amount of decks per day. No.
It was the... You know, it's your way off. It's about that they're only... For each 5-0 deck list from MTGO that wins a league, they're only going to put... the top 5.
No, that's a different story.
Different? Okay, never mind.
But I know that was one of the things that Magic was going to bring up today. But yes. But so different things we're talking about. It was more about the comment of what you're getting at where everybody plays these same fucking Rysic Study staples. And it's just boring to sometimes just like go, okay, I'm playing blue. No matter what, Controversy Sphinx, Rysic Study, Mystic Remora, these cards are going in no matter what. So you're like talking about building decks that don't have to rely on the same dependables.
It's goes into the whole, like, we're in the day and age of technology, information sharing, things, you know, deck lists getting uploaded very quickly, and people figure out whatever meta it is very quickly. Can't get around that. I understand the point he's getting at.
Yeah,
and
I agree with you.
And
you
how I tackle that problem is that I just tell myself I'm not going to play those cards. So, like, for instance, I'm not going to talk about this deck, but I built an elemental deck, EDH deck on MTGO. And one of the things was I was going to try and, like, stick with the theme in the tribe more than I was trying to make it, like, the best deck it could be. So it was, like, kind of giving me a challenge, and I had to think outside the box to try and make it better instead of just... Because it's a five-color deck, so I can just throw in fucking whatever I want, and
it
can...
Every staple.
Yeah. And so I had to stop myself, and I had to go, okay, I want to think outside the box. I want to look at these other cards, and I know
Is this the Alora deck?
No, this is the... No, fuck, I forget the name. Basically, you can cast Elemental from your graveyard if you pay Wooburg. I forget. He was in Modern Masters 2.
Okay.
And the foil looks really horrible, so don't buy those. So anyways, made me think outside the box. And the Command Cast, whatever fucking, you know.
Command Zone,
whatever it is. They actually had an episode a while back about, like, trying not to include all the staples and think outside the box and try and, you know, make it fun again, because just like any other meta, you can fucking use math and statistics to zero in on how to win, and that for most people that takes the fun out of it.
Yeah.
You know, and there's some people who all they care about is winning in a super unfair way,
yeah.
And that's how they get fun, and that's not necessarily how it is for
And I feel
people.
Like with my comment about what Saffron with Rogue Deck Builder said about EDH Rec and this and that, a lot of people will go, well, you know what, he's just bitching and whining, he's just being a little bitch, like, who cares, like, whatever, like, that's an engine for people to use to fucking make their decks, and blah, 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 blah. And that's fine. That's not his point. That's not our point. Like, for me and you, we love brewing ourselves.
I love Tapped Out. Tapped Out and EDH Rec are such good fucking tools for us. But, like...
And so, I don't think... That wasn't his point. It wasn't about having access to that kind of thing. It was mostly about... I think he was just venting his frustration that people net deck way too much now.
Right.
And it becomes like, well, dude, like, you're missing out on so much fun. You're missing out on half the fun of the game. Like, yeah. You're missing, like, to build your own deck and be proud of what you build rather than going, tier one deck list, this one 5-0, this is what I'm playing. Like, I mean, yeah, sure. If you're only about winning, sure. But you're missing out on a lot of this game, man.
So that's why it's fun to make decks with restrictions on them. Just like last week when Hot Sauce was talking about, issued us a challenge, he said, you know what? Let's build some commander decks with each card having to be under $1 in value. And so we're like, yeah, fuck yeah. When you put parameters on something like that, it forces you to think in ways that you normally wouldn't think. So
there's a deck that I've been, like, in the back of my mind wanting to build as a kind of a half joke for some time. But him making that comment made me actually, you know, I use EDH Rec too. Like, I don't use it to go and go, this is the exact deck I'm making right now. But I use it for go, like, try to find cards I don't know about.
Exactly.
And so for Commander, I'm not as in-depth of that. And then there's 20 fucking years of Magic. There's a lot of cards that you may not know of.
Yeah.
And so, like, for me, one of the decks I'm thinking about making this for, I've always, like, for a while now, wanted, like, the possibility of, like, making, like, a bird tribal deck. Because I want Stormcrow. Because I love that whole mythology of Stormcrow. Like, some people play, so if you play Stormcrow, like, no matter who played it, somebody has to use whatever removal, it may be the best removal they have. Maybe a Damnation, the only card on the field is Stormcrow. Like, there's a fucking form of commander where people play that where you have to cast this first as fast as you can to kill that Stormcrow. And so, like, that's been in my head for a while. I love Stormcrow for that reason. And so I've wanted to build, like, a bird tribal deck. Well, him making that comment, I went to EDH Rec and found a blue-white bird fucking commander. And I'm like, okay, now I'm, like, going through my cards, finding my fucking my birds and things like that, like Murderer Crows and, you know, just fun shit. And going, yeah, like, this is actually a viable deck, and for the most part, what I'm seeing here is some cards I don't know, like, legitimately, I can have fun and build this deck under a dollar and, like, go from there and make some of my own, you know, adjustments to it. And so, yeah, I mean, sorry to cut you off again.
Oh, no, that's okay. And so I was thoroughly intrigued with this, And it's pretty well known that Boros is, like, the worst color combination in EDH. And so I was looking... First of all, I just went and looked at the precon, the Boros precon.
Okay.
And I...
No fucking way.
So this is...
What a joke.
This is great because... Almost every card in that deck was less than a dollar.
Of course.
So there was like maybe like 10 cards that were more than a buck or like, you know, something like that. So I was like, man,
I
could just like play this precon and just, you know, use the theme of giants. But I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And so, but I was like, no, I want to do Boros though, because I never have built a deck just in Boros for EDH. So... what I found through looking, I wanted to do a tribe because I figured if it's a tribe, it will be easier to find cards I need to build the deck instead of just like randomly searching for shit or trying to come up with a like super unique niche mechanic or whatever. Tribe, cool. I like tribal anyways. That's the first thing that attracted me to EDH. So I made a Boros deck called Super Soldier Smash Boros, $1 and under. And pretty much it's a soldier deck. It's fucking 75% white. But there's some cards, like the commander, who need to be Boros. So the commander is Adrina, Captain of the Guard. So it's the conspiracy chick. 3 and Boros. 4/4 legendary human knight with melee. Other creatures you control have melee. So, okay.
Okay.
Now, yes. I know there's a lot of token-making soldier effects, and so with melee, it'll pump them up. So I start going through. I know Boros is pretty good about like either bumping the toughness or the power. So I found Argus Kos, Wojek Veteran, which is the main character in the first book of the Ravnica series.
Okay.
So...
Wojak? Like Bojack Horseman?
Agris. Sometimes words are hard. Agris, Kos, Wojak Veteran. Okay. So he is 3 in Boros for a 3/3 legendary creature, human soldier. Whenever he attacks, attacking red creatures get +2/+0, and attacking white creatures get +0/+2 until end of turn. So kind of bumps the team. This card I've always been a fan of, and it sucked in standard, but Angelic Skirmisher for 4 white-white. It's a 4/4 flyer, angel. At the beginning of each combat, choose First Strike, Vigilance, or Lifelink. Creatures you control gain that ability until end of turn. So just giving the whole team...
Are you playing that fucking that white dude from...
Yes, I am.
That's what I figured.
So I'm playing both the archetypes, Archetype of Aggression and Archetype of Courage. Creatures you control gain Trample. Creatures you control gain First Strike. Other creatures opponents control lose those things.
Remember the archetypes.
So
Theros block, right?
Yeah, so that's Theros. Yeah. And those are... one of them's Human Soldier, one of them's Human Warrior. There's like... it's mostly Soldier, but it was just like so hard to find cards under a dollar to like fit in. So it has like a slight Warrior sub-theme, but there's nothing that really affects Warriors. So Bally Rush... Banneret. Sorry, my eyes.
Banneret,
are,
yeah.
It's getting late. 1 and a white for a 2/1. Kithkin Soldier. Kithkin spells and soldier spells cost you 1 less to play. Burnished Heart, just because it's an easy way for any color to gain some ramp. Captain of the Watch. Vigilance. Other soldiers you control get +1/+1. And when it enters the battlefield, put 3 1/1 soldier creature tokens on the battlefield. Oh, and see, I didn't know that this card existed. So this is why things like EDH Rec are so amazing. Catapult Master for 3 white-white, human soldier, it's a 3/3, tap 5 untapped soldiers you control, exile target creature. That's pretty fucking good.
Okay.
So it's good. There's not a lot of good, great removal for under a dollar, so that it's pretty good. You know, some of these are boring. A Cloud Goat Ranger, just when it comes into play, put 3/1/1 Kithkin Soldier tokens, and then you can tap them and make Kithkin or the Cloud Goat Ranger bigger, kind of a battle sphere mechanic. Some more Theros action coming at you. Evengal of Heliod, 4 white-white. It's a 1-3 human cleric. That sucks. When it enters the battlefield, put a number of 1-1 white creatures, 1-1 white soldier tokens equal to devotion. Okay. So 75% of the deck is white, so hopefully be putting a lot of those bad boys. And there's just a lot of pump the whole team abilities. Gideon's Avenger, 1 white-white for a 2-2 human soldier. Whenever a creature an opponent controls becomes tapped, put a 1-1 counter on it. Just like, what the fuck? Yeah, that guy's going to get huge. He has no evasion. But there's ways to get around that.
Your favorite fucking land card to play?
Oh, yes, Rogue's Passage.
Yep.
There's the Hanweir Militia Captain. You know, if there's more than four creatures on the battlefield, he flips and, you know, adds more soldiers. Jazzle Gold.
Dude, what about, are you playing Hanweir Battlements?
Too expensive.
Is it really?
Too expensive.
Okay. I never saw any play.
Unfortunate.
I guess it's that known power level that never played, though.
Some of these cards are coming in at 99 cents. So, like this Jazzle Goldmane Cat, first strike, 4/4 for 4 mana. You pay...
I almost feel like... I'm sorry to cut you off. I almost feel like a couple of like, the cards are like right there, like that are in flux between being 90 cents and $1.13. Yeah. Like, I think we should have a little bit of a small middle ground there.
Well,
like to say, like
we kind of put it as the TCG marketplace price or market price. So we'll have to revisit that and see if we want to go with like TCG low or
that's
something.
The kind of thing like it could fluck up to $1.05, and suddenly you're playing a legal carding deck. I mean, like, I don't know. I just think there should be a small leeway window for us.
I'm not 100% sure, but I want to put in a rule that once we build the deck, cards can't just be like, just because they spike doesn't mean we have to get rid of them.
Okay.
You know, because then we'd be having to check fucking 99 cards every week just to see, you know. So this guy basically pumps the whole team, gets plus X, where X is the number of attacking creatures. You know how white sucks at card advantage? Well, Mentor of the Meek.
Oh, I love that.
Disagrees.
I love that card so much.
He is a
Mentor.
He is a human soldier. Pay one whenever a creature with power two or less enters the battlefield, and you draw a card.
I play that in my Boros Tremors modern deck that's semi... That's not combo, but like between Nor and the Wary and that two-mana artifact that whenever a creature enters the battlefield, non-token creature enters the battlefield for either side, you put a 1-1 Mer token on the field
right
with Impact Tremors. So between those three and then putting Mentor of the Meek on the field means every time Norn or Mirror comes on, I can play one and draw a card. So it's like, yeah. I just get to fucking... If I set that up, and if you don't die right away, like if you're a Hot Sauce life game deck, if I set that up, I draw a bunch of cards, and I will eventually kill you from the constant pain and the constant card draw.
It's ridiculous. And some of these cards I thought would be more expensive, like the Mirror Entity, which is the token fucking staple, you know, whatever token deck you're making. Basically, it's a changeling, and you pay X, and until end of turn, creatures you control have base power, toughness... Toughness XX and gain all creature types. So that is 76 cents, which is amazing.
Are you playing Impact Tremors?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Also playing Odric, so the whole team gains.
That's the white one from Shadows of Innistrad that I was talking about.
And this card, I love this card, Ogre Battle Driver, which I play in my tokens deck.
1-mana 3/3, can't attack alone? Or can't?
Nope. It's 2 red-red for a 3/3. Whenever another creature enters the battlefield under your control, that creature gets +2/+0 and gains haste until end of turn.
Oh, okay. Different one I was thinking of. Seems pretty good, though.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's some of these cards I haven't even thought about since they came out, like Preeminent Captain. Kithkin Soldier. Basically, has first strike 2/2. Whenever it attacks, I just put a soldier creature card from my hand onto the battlefield, tapped and attacking.
So one of the first times I met Ian.
Okay.
You know, like he was all about this fucking like modern, or he doesn't really have like a format deck, but he had like a Kithkin soldier deck, like he had a soldier deck, and I had like two of those preeminent captains. And I didn't really pay attention to him, like I could see like the power levels there, but I never really wasn't building a soldier deck. And he's like, I've been looking at this for a while. Like you had two of those, and so basically. I forget, I traded two of those and like something else in the trade, maybe like $5 or something like that, to get a fucking $20 Thoughtseize. I'm like, deal. I'm like, this is what you're offering me? Two of these and $5 for that Thoughtseize that I really want? Deal.
Trade raping the newbies.
Hey, I was the newbie.
So this isn't a soldier, but it just pumps the whole team. Soltari Champion. It's a fuck. What is that? Spirit. It summons spirit. It's a 2/2. Has shadow, and if it attacks all other creatures you control, get +1/+1 till end of turn. So it can't be blocked except by other shadowy type creatures. And this card I mentioned earlier.
That's a mechanic I'm overall happy that we don't play a bunch of because.
Yeah, it's just like Intimidate or Fear or, you know, any.
But even
any
those, like,
ones.
We play a lot of black. So, like, black is a very popular command color, too. So, like, you know, Fear, whatever. And then, I don't know. Just Shadow is, like, of those three, which are dickheads, or even, like, Landwalks. Like, Shadow, that's. Shadow is fucked up, dude. Like, I think there's a creature to, like, give other creatures shadow, and, like, there's a couple, like, really good shadow creatures that I'm happy we don't play.
Shadow's probably the worst of them all, the biggest offender, because only other creatures with shadow can block them, so. This card I was surprised I didn't know about, which was the Torin Mauler. For 2 and a red, it's 2/2 changeling. Whenever an opponent casts a spell, you may put a 1/1 counter on it. So, it's a changeling, it can be any fucking creature type, so, therefore, it's a soldier that gets really big. Thalia's Lancers, just for the value. Veteran Swordsmith, other soldier creatures you control get +1/+0. Victory's Herald, which is an angel. Whenever it attacks, attacking creatures gain flying and lifelink until end of turn.
Fuck you.
That one seemed pretty fucking cool. And I won't go through all the rest of the cards because it can be boring just rambling off a list. But Sunforger, which was a speculation target for all those tiny leaders, fucking queers who tried to, you know, corner the market on it.
Yeah, it's probably pushed a lot of players out of it.
So, Sunforger is an artifact equipment for 3 colorless. Equipped creature gets +4/+0. You can pay Boros, unattach Sunforger, search your library for a red or white instant card with converted mana cost 4 or less, and cast that card without paying its mana cost. And so, I tried to find as many cool fucking instances as I could. And we have Condemn, which is basically Path to Exile, but instead of exiling it, you put it on the bottom of their library. Also, Crib Swap for 2 and a white. it's a tribal instant.
Is it Crib Swap?
Crib Swap.
Okay.
And
give me your baby.
There's some, like, alien in the crib looking at the mom, and the mom is like, I don't remember you being that ugly.
That's the definition of a changeling.
Yeah, so exile target creature. Its controller puts a 1/1 colorless shapeshifter creature token with changeling onto the battlefield. Disenchant, of course. Dogpile, which I didn't know about. Dogpile deals damage to target creature or player equal to the number of attacking creatures you control. You might want to check that out for your EDH deck you were just talking about.
I'm sorry, can you read one more time?
Dogpile, for 3 and a red, instant, deals damage to target creature or player equal to the number of attacking creatures you control.
Okay.
I really had to think outside the box for a lot of these. I had to do some heavy searching for all the good instants, 4 mana and under. Entrapment Maneuver for 3 and a white. Target player sacrifices an attacking creature. You create X 1/1 white soldier creature tokens where X is the creature's toughness. Into the Core for 2 red. Exile 2 artifacts. Try and use Sun Forger as like a toolbox sort of thing. Ricochet Trap. If an opponent casts a blue spell this turn, you may pay a red rather than pay Ricochet Trap's mana cost. Change the target of target spell with a single target.
And
then Ride Down. So destroy target blocking creature. the attacking creature gains trample until end of turn. And then just a couple other fucking cool things, Darksteel Mutation, Oblivion Ring, the War Storms. I took War Storm Surge out and replaced it with Impact Tremors, just because most of my dudes coming in are going to be 1/1s anyways, and I'd rather put it down on turn 2 than on turn 6, because that's how much War Storm Surge is.
That's when you talked about earlier for my deck. What does that do?
So, it's 5 and a red. Enchantment, whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, it deals damage equal to its power to target creature or player.
So,
Impact Tremors, it's target creature or player, but it's equal to the power.
Yeah, so it has, like, bonuses and disadvantages.
Yeah.
Disadvantage being so much higher costed. Advantage being hit creatures. Disadvantage is it doesn't hit each opponent.
Yeah, it doesn't hit each opponent you have to target.
So, I mean, but it's still something that I love that effect. Like, I mean, since the Git, once I saw Impact Charmers and Perf Roads, like, that's one of the opening decks I've made was those things, and I've stuck with it because I just love it. So, and, like, to find that a card I didn't know about that has a similar effect is interesting to me.
Yeah, Hot Sauce had that in his Gruul deck, his fucking Xenagos deck, which was just the worst deck ever.
That guy's an asshole.
Probably the worst deck anyone's ever built. Worse as in fucking, you know, on turn six, you'd attack you out of nowhere for 50 damage.
It's like, Jesus Christ. Warstorm Surge?
Yes.
Okay.
So, also, this card I always think about and I never have a place for it. Finally, I get to play it. Path of Bravery for 2 and a white. It's an enchantment.
Oh, you brave.
As long as your life total is greater than or equal to your starting life total, creatures you control get +1/+1. Whenever one or more creatures you control attacks, you gain life equal to the number of attacking creatures.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So
it doesn't even matter if you play it before you fucking...
Exactly.
You know, actually are above your life total. That's going to give you above your life total to bump them up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's a... Fuck you. That's a good card. That sounds like a pretty good card right there. Especially for token strategy shit. God damn, okay. Okay.
So this card, I was fucking amazed to find this card. Marshall's Anthem. 2 white-white. It's an enchantment. Has multi-kicker for 1 and a white. Creatures you control get +1/+1. Whatever. When Marshall's Anthem enters the battlefield, return up to X target creature cards from your graveyard to the battlefield, where X is the number of times Marshall's Anthem was kicked. So late game, you're just like, oh, bring back all those fucking token makers that came in. Oh, okay. It's great. And it's to the battlefield. Fucking amazing.
Yeah. And then it brings to the battlefield. It's worth something, worth looking at.
Yeah.
I mean, to the hand's already good. To the battlefield's like, Jesus, okay.
I won't go through all the artifacts, but Oketra's Monument.
Yes.
White creature spells you cast 1 less. Whenever you cast
talk
a creature
about
spell,
card.
Create a 1/1 white warrior creature token with vigilance. So it's not a soldier, but I mean, my goodness.
If you saw this in limited and you were playing a creature deck, which most limited creature decks, most limited decks are creatures, and you didn't pick this up and you passed for something less powered, like, you made a mistake. This card is super fucking good in limited. It's very good to build around, too. It's just fucking good, man. So, honestly.
So then, since I'm playing a creature deck, I figured I need some, like... Or, I mean, since I'm playing a token deck, I'm gonna need some board wipes. For your guys' bigger, more powerful creatures.
Right.
So, Hallowed Burial, which was in the conspiracy for 3 white-white, put all creatures on the bottom of their owner's library. So that gets around shit like Indestructible and all that. Fell the Mighty. Destroy all creatures with power greater than target creature's power. I thought that was fucking cool. I didn't even know about that card. Sounds amazing. Oh, yeah, my 1-1. Destroy everything above a 1-1. Fucking sweet.
That's a little silly. Didn't hit my locus.
Yeah. So, Gift of Estates for 1 and a white. If an opponent controls more lands than you, search your library for up to 3 planes cards and put them in your hand.
Okay.
That's fucking... I mean, just to have search out lands, you know, in white, I thought was pretty cool. Launch the Fleet. Duh.
Oh, yeah. I love that card.
Fucking easy include, and their soldiers.
Bonus.
It has Strive until end of turn. Any number of target creatures, each gain whenever this creature attacks, put a 1/1 white soldier creature token on the battlefield, tapped in attacking. Holy balls. Also, Mass Calcify. 5 white-white. Destroy all non-white creatures. Good thing all my creatures are at least mostly white.
If you don't own any of those, don't buy it. I'll give you one.
Sweet.
2 Christmases ago, my mom, I was just getting the magic, and she's all proud. Like, she... I tried talking to her like that in like a booster box like that, and she went on to Amazon and bought like 6 of those bulk fucking like, you know, the old cardboard white boxes that people sell bulk things, like, oh, at least 5 rares in it or whatever. And she's like, oh, like, I found these things, and like, I could use like 6 of them because they're so cheap. I'm like, they're cheap for a goddamn reason. Jesus. But every single one of them have 5 rares. They're all the same 5 rares. Mass Calcify, Mindswipe. Master of the Way, like Jeskai, like shit rare, and like two other ones. But I was like, so yeah, I've got plenty of Mass Calcifies. All you need, brother.
Well, trust me, I'll give you the 39 cents for it. Mizzia Mortars can... You know, I was trying to just figure out shit to get rid of bigger creatures, which obviously has Overload. And then this little gem, Mob Rule, for 4 red. Choose one. Gain control of all creatures with power 4 or greater until end of turn. Untap those creatures. They gain haste. Or pretty much 3 power or less. So yeah, obviously, I'm going to be choosing the 4 power or greater most of the time. And, I mean, there's a bunch of other cards in here. You can check out the deck list online. I don't know. I'm super excited. I was surprised to find that some of these cards were less than a dollar or, you know, 99 cents. And it seems like a decent deck. Obviously, we're not going to be playing these decks against our other, you know, fucking real decks. Because, look, let me just scroll down here. We got I can order this deck right now from Card Kingdom for $39.03.
So you got way under the fucking number.
And I have half of these cards. So, yeah, pretty much cheap-ass deck.
The other one I was thinking about making for this, for our little stipulation deck, besides that bird one, which I want you to look up on the EDH rec, the blue-white bird, but for you, for later or whatever.
Gotcha.
Was Pandeem. That was the original one I was looking at.
Oh, yes, yes. I was looking at that one, too, which...
Just because no, that's the artifact one.
Okay, gotcha. They all have hexproof.
So yeah, all are. It's a 3 and a blue legendary from Kaladesh. All your artifacts have hexproof, and if you control at the end of your turn or something like that, if you control an artifact that has like the highest CMC, you draw a card. Kind of deal, whatever. So like, it was just, I've been wanting to play an artifacts deck anyways. I was like, well, this gives me an excuse to make it a cheap artifacts deck, I guess. So. I mean, I don't want to be the guy who plays that, what the fuck that card, like, not Memnite, but it's, like, along the same lines, where it's that fucking that same time period, New Phyrexia shit, where it's, like, it's an artifact deck you play, but it has blue and activation costs, and you turn nourish into artifacts, and you just steal it. It's, like, it's just, it's a complete dickhead deck. It's about fucking being 100% no fun.
Nobody will like you.
Nobody you're playing like all you. Counters, and you're taking everything else that the player has.
And I'm also excited to play this land, Blighted Steep. Tap for a colorless, or tap and pay 3 and a white. Sacrifice it. You gain 2 life for each creature you control.
Jeez.
So,
you gotta play Kirk Keep in there.
That's over a dollar.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it is.
I bought it so long ago for my Goblin Tremors Modern deck or whatever.
I'm pretty sure.
And it's not a soldier, but again, it's another token maker to throw mana into if you're having, like, end of the battlefield effects and other, you want to go to wide.
And so, there's some other, you know... That's the deck. Whatever, it's cool. It's, you know, easy way to get into EDH, you know, to not spend a whole bunch of money. I mean, that's basically the same amount as a pre-con, and, you know, I think that's pretty much better than a pre-con, because in a lot of the pre-cons, there's those, like, 10 or 15 cards where you're like, these cards don't belong here. Like,
obvious trash cards, you
like
mean?
Like that migrate fucking card that creates the bird tokens. It's fucking garbage.
The one
garbage.
Was in every single of this last commander, like, fucking pre-release ones. Just bad.
Yeah, it was horrible. But through searching cards for this deck, I was able to find some not-so-played cards for some of my other decks. One being Skull.
Not-so-played cards anywhere because they're from the Dark.
Yeah. So this card's from the Dark. The other's from Exodus. Skull of Orym. For 3, it's an artifact. 5 and tap, bring 1 enchantment card from your graveyard to your hand. Not that great, but in my Xur the Enchanter deck, a repeatable effect like that is very much appreciated. I have those one-time effects, which bring them back, you know, just one time, but having something to repeat it on a stick is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think it's a solid card. Like, I mean, my new Izzet deck plays a pretty heavy amount of enchantments. And for the most part, they're all trying to do mostly the same thing about drawing extra cards, so I probably wouldn't put that in there. But in general, a commander card that gets you, that you bring your enchantments back and you're playing like an enchantment-based deck and shit, I think that's more power to that card than giving credit to.
Yeah, and especially, mean, like, sure, like, paying 5 is kind of a pain in the ass, but, like, late game, you're going to be wanting to bring stuff back. It's not like on turn 3, you're like, damn it, I wish I could bring something back right now.
Yeah.
For the most part, no, that doesn't happen. And also, I found Erratic Portal for 4. It's an artifact, so 4 colorless. 1 and tap, return target creature to owner's hand unless its controller pays 1. So I don't care about returning your shit. I wanted like a flicker effect on a stick. So it's not just one time, because in EDH, a lot of times you want something that you can do over and over again instead of just, flicker wisp. Okay, I did it once. That's cool. I want something I can do over and over again and kind of abuse. So I was thinking about putting this in the soldier deck, but there's not enough creatures who bring in other dudes, you know? So I was trying to like find as many of those as I could, and I didn't have enough in the deck to justify putting this in the deck. But
I do like that card. That
just
idea,
for
though.
Like yeah. entering the battlefield effects, I might put this in my Mirren deck.
Yeah,
just to bring it back to my hand and then fucking play it again, and or just somebody's gonna board wipe, bring it back to my hand. Or hey, you're all tapped out and you have a big fatty you just threw down. Guess what? I'm bouncing it back to your hand. I don't know. I thought it was a super good card.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a solid find.
Looking up on EDH Rec, let's just look how many, what did I call it? Erratic Portal? Let's see how many decks it's in. Because this is one cool thing about EDH Rec. It'll tell you how many decks it's in. And I don't even know where to look.
Erratic Portal?
It's in 1,049 decks. So apparently it's not that unheard of.
I don't heard of in our group, I can tell you that much. And none of us have played that yet. So.
Yeah, I've never heard it. And I like both of these cards because they have like the cool old-school art on them.
I think we're both a fan of the older arts.
Yeah, so super stoked. I know this episode has just been filled with EDH and reading off deck lists, which isn't the most exciting. But sometimes there's just not all that bunch of shit to fucking talk about. One thing I did want to talk about before I kick it on over to Krokowski is that since Hour of Devastation has been released a week early on MTGO, and let me just say, fucking thumbs
hats off.
Up.
Hats off, yeah.
Thumbs up, Wizards.
Tell you what, that's one of their, you know, our song about one step forward, two steps back. This is a step forward. This is continued success, and being able to release these cards early is just so good.
Yeah, it is. Fuck. I can't. I'm just. Well played. Well fucking played.
Took the words right out of your mouth.
It just, so good.
Tongue-tied you.
So good. And also another exciting reason that Hour of Devastation is being released on MTGO is now you don't have to play Commander with the 1v1 rules, like the legalities. Now it's two separate sections to where the 1v1 has its own ban list and regular Commander has its fucking regular Commander ban list. So now I can put Soul Ring and fucking all this other shit back in my decks and play it in a, like regularly, because going up against some decks, they would play... So it's a multiplayer game, but it's 1v1 fucking ban list. So people are playing things that are normally banned in multiplayer, but they're not banned in 1v1. Like, what is it? The.
I honestly don't
know. The Kruphix, where you, at your end step, you untap.
Profit Kruphix.
Yeah, that fucking card is just ridiculous. Among many, many
others.
Oh,
that card, yeah. There's a reason I got banned. Jesus Christ.
So, anyways, if you are into playing EDH on MTGO, feel free to rejoice and play the games you were meant to play in God's green earth.
Okay.
So say we all. Okay, what you got, Crow?
So, to not step away from EDH, actually, one of the little quick little news is, I'm sure you've probably heard by now, but at this point, I forget through what vessel it was spoiled, but we do know now that one of the upcoming pre-cons are selling next month, August, I believe they released this time, early?
Something like that,
yeah,
September,
so,
August.
We know that the Tribals, was it four or five decks? Four decks?
So it's four decks.
Four decks this time. So at this point, we believe we know one of them is Dragons.
Right.
Which we've seen some of those cards, which were new and new things. Mm-hmm. The newest one to be spoiled, and I forget how it was spoiled, is Cat Tribal. A green-white cat tribal deck is one of the ones that one of the pre-cons to buy. Which is, I mean, I like cats, so whatever. But, like, whatever. I don't
there
know.
Was,
there's not a whole... There's definitely cards. There's definitely cat cards, and I think even Saffron Olive and MTG Goldfish did, like, Against the Odds for Cat Tribal, trying to use the Regal Caracal, which is a sweet card. And there was a couple, like, pretty cool green-white cats that he, like, went and found and did some different things. So I'm sure the deck will be, like, fun enough to play, but Overall, of all the different tribes, I don't think it was that exciting to pick, personally.
I mean, whatever. You know, it's a tribe that is getting some more support. Cool, I'm all for that. But I feel like Wizards is really pushing the whole, like, cuddly fucking, you know, the whole Star City with their stupid
fucking cuddly playmats. Yeah, yeah, I love Star City, but that's like one thing I don't like is their fucking little cartoony, cuddly fucking creatures.
Yeah.
Like, I like the names and how much fun they have on the streams talking about them, because they get all goofy about it.
Right.
But I will never own one of those playmats or those deck sleeves or those pins. I don't care.
I just, you know, it's not only my opinion, but a lot of people are kind of getting to that little bit of a oversaturation point of the silliness of stuff that's coming out, you know, with,
which
like,
is so far away from like the gory, like darker art we like from the older cards. Like, we've gone so far away from that, except for like the new card where the white god is dead, or no, when Kefnet's dead.
Okay, yeah,
when he's like bleeding out of his fucking skull, like that was like the coolest goriest art we've had in a long time.
So, you know, with the vehicles, which were kind of gimmicky, and then the cats, and then we're going to pirates and dinosaurs, you know, it's just kind of like, all right, settle down,
at
Wizards.
Some point, gotta reel it back in a little bit, get us back into the fucking Phyrexians and the darkers and the, not the darkers, like just the darker side of Magic rather than the cuddly dinosaurs. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I mean, they are cuddly because apparently they had feathers, so...
Well,
know,
that is scientifically accurate as far as we know now.
They're not as scaly as we once thought they were. So anyways, I think that's about it for this episode of If Lands Could Kill.
I had one more thing. Actually, two small things. One, really quickly.
Yes.
Like I mentioned earlier. Really quickly. Blah, blah, blah. Castlevania anime on Netflix.
Okay, so...
If anyone talked to you, I thought you would be the one to talk about this.
I'm really glad you brought this up, because I forgot that I watched the first episode.
Oh, you have? Okay,
the first
I haven't watched
episodes.
It yet.
So, it's very weird, because you would think that I would be into Castlevania, it being an older game, started out in the 8-bit, and like... But I just never got into it.
I'm kind of with you.
It's not that I don't like the gameplay, it's just I never played those games.
Yeah. I didn't either when I was younger. I only more recently, probably at least 7 years ago now that I started playing some Castlevania stuff. Yeah. And there was like, because they still make Castlevania games.
Right.
Like, there's newer versions of it. So I didn't play the old school original Castlevania. I did play a couple, I think it was like a DS one and like a GameCube, or not GameCube, but a Wii one or something like that I played. That I did really enjoy.
Yeah.
And especially I didn't play like the Game Boy one was like more of an old school feel to it. You know, like in these like mansions, and like the world is distorted. So you're like walking on the ceilings, and it's upside down, and there's things about it that I really enjoyed.
Yeah,
but I'm with you. I was never like fully into Castlevania as a younger kid and stuff.
And I recently just found out that there's a whole genre of games called what are they called? Anyways,
Camel fuckers.
Fuck. Now I forget the name. They're just like Castle. Castlevania Mania? I don't fucking know. Anyways, okay. I'm going to go ahead and skip that. There's a whole genre of games based off one of the Castlevania type of games.
Okay.
And it has to do with
So what are your thoughts? Like, did you watch first two episodes? What'd you think?
So I'm pretty sure I fell asleep during the second episode because I usually watch Netflix when I'm going to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I always love looking for new anime. So I was like, you know what? This art style looks pretty cool. Let me just check it out. And one thing I hate about animes is when they hit the ground running too fast,
mm-hmm.
and they don't explain the world and everything going on away.
So it's the fully opposite spectrum of what Dragon Ball Z does, where they take 10 episodes for one fight. It's the opposite side where they're going too fast.
Well,
you know what's going on. Dragon Ball over-explains everything to death. I mean, I love Dragon Ball Z, don't get me wrong, but my God. Especially the first season of that. Wow.
It's particularly...
Oh, it's slow.
It's particularly in the beginning when they just set up. They have to give enough setup. Not that everything needs to be explained. There needs to be mysteries and unanswered questions and all that stuff. But a lot of animes just jump right into this universe, and you have no idea about the universe. And so they're saying shit, and you're like, I don't even know fucking the like, weight of that because haven't explained it yet.
You're watching episode one like, what did I miss? Like, am I yeah. starting mid-season?
Should I have read the manga first? Like, what the fuck, dude? So, I will say that it explains itself pretty decently.
Okay.
And I don't...
So it doesn't suffer from what you don't like.
It doesn't suffer from that.
Okay.
And so I was immediately liking that from the beginning. And I haven't played the games. I know nothing about Castlevania besides, like, you know, the kind of side-scrolling whatever.
Vampires type stuff and the whip and
So the... like, not that this is a spoiler, because I, you know, it's the first fucking episode, but pretty much Dracula or whoever, you know, I think it's Dracula, some, you know, famous vampire. He
violently impaler.
He finally finds like a woman that he likes. He hates humans. He thinks they're fucking stupid. And
I'm with them.
They're icky and they have germs and, you know, whatever. He just wants nothing to do with them. And he finds this woman and he's just like, you know,
I want to lick your butthole.
Enthralled by her because she's different than everyone else. Anyway, fast forward, they get married. He goes on a fucking trip or whatever. She's like bringing the human side out of him. So instead of like just turning into a bat and fucking, you know, going away, she's like encouraging him to, like, you know, act more human. So he goes on this trip and he travels like a man, a human, you know, like walking and taking the horse and carriage or whatever the fuck they fucking used back then. So he takes a long time getting back, and it turns out that they had killed her because they were in. She was into like science, and they thought that was like witchcraft.
Yeah.
And so they burned her at the fucking stake.
Devil woman.
Yeah. And then so he gets back, and he
gonna
pissed.
Lose his shit.
Yeah, he fucking loses his shit. That's the only redeeming quality of mankind that he fucking liked was her, and that's the only reason he didn't fucking fuck everybody up. And so he's pissed. And so he's like, "I'm gonna give you a year to get all your shit together." And then
I'm giving you a chance to defend yourself. Yeah, that's what's happening.
And then I am unleashing like the hounds of hell on you. And so,
here comes Cerberus, motherfucker.
Yeah, and so like a year passes, and then, you know, there's like this fucking old fucking, he looks like the fucking Pope. I don't fucking know who he is, a bishop, cardinal,
some
person.
Vatican fuck.
Yeah, exactly. And he's like, "It's been a year. That fucking Dracula's full of shit. He's just a tool of the devil." And then all of a sudden in the sky, out of fire, he appears and he's like, "It's been a year." And then like he just unleashes all these fucking like devil hounds on him and shit.
I'm watching this tonight.
And I'm like, "Fuck yes, dude. This is awesome." And it just, all the little things that bother me about animes I haven't seen yet. Granted, I've just watched the first one and a half episodes. But it makes me want to almost go back and play the games and learn more of the story.
You're having a solid high review.
Yeah,
right
it's giving me a good gateway into Castlevania.
Yeah.
As a whole.
I take that to mean, though, because I take that to mean a high review, like if it's giving you that I want this nostalgia. I want to have had this nostalgia to go find and get into this now.
Yeah,
like that's a huge review, like positive review to me.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I'm stoked to watch this now too, because I like I said, I haven't watched it yet, but I figured if anybody talked to about this, it would be you, because I know you're into animes too. Like, you were into it more than I am, which cool. But I have a love for them too. Like, you know, I don't watch them enough. From what
and
I do watch, I enjoy. So,
and the art style is not like too anime-y. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that can turn some people off, and especially on some of the more like, because this is like, I think it's a Netflix original.
Yes.
So, you know, some of the more some of the more Asian animes can.
You're so worried about being like a racist comment.
Well, I mean,
like,
you know,
anime comes from Asia. Jesus Christ, like whatever.
Well, it's Japamation. It comes from Japan.
Okay, excuse me.
I remember one of my friends when I was younger got really offended when I said that. I was like, "What? Japamation? It's just combining Japan and animation." So I don't know what the problem is, you fucking chink-eyed motherfucker. So anyways. Some of the other ones, like the ones I really enjoy, like Full Metal Alchemist, they can have those moments where, you know, it's not like a serious part of the story, so it's more like tongue-in-cheek and kind of fun. Mm. And when they get surprised or excited about something, they go into like the whole like stupid animation style, and their eyes are all fucking, and they got the dumb faces, and you know, it's more like,
yeah, like the shimmer, like the
bars. Yes, yes, exactly.
Like what Baby Pop does, Baby Metal does on stage.
Yeah, exactly. So this is like not that style at all.
Okay.
I'm guessing
it's a darker style, because Castlevania is not a happy-go-lucky story. It is like underworld. It is a vampire death, you know, style of thing.
It's not that it's a better art style, it's just a different art style, which makes it intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Netflix is kind of, I mean, I don't know the history of all the animes, but it seems like they're trying to have a different take on all their styles of art. So mm-hmm. like each one they put out will be like a different style and not just one specific style,
so they're going to different teams rather than like in-house, like this is what you're doing, like you're having
right
like
exactly
different,
it's not like
teams.
Everything's going to be looking the exact same. So, yeah, I definitely suggest it. Thank you for reminding me, because now when I go in there, I'm going to watch that when I go to sleep, because I totally forgot that I watched it and I liked it. So, yeah, I highly suggest that. That's going to be my new thing, and now I'm going to go, like, fucking look on Steam for all the, like, things I can download and money I shouldn't be spending and all that stuff.
So. I saw a bunch of money on your fucking, on your underneath your TV earlier, dude. You got money.
Yeah, that was my girl's money.
Your girl's, she's your fiance. I mean, what's hers is yours, yours is hers, right?
Well, I mean, half of it's gone now, but Castlevania.
So the last thing I wanted to bring up, Magic News wise, is something that hasn't quite talked about. There is a new product coming out, and it is kind of in response to, apparently, I mean, we all have different lands that we love. Mine is like the 9th edition white bordered island. I'm sure you've seen it. Anyways, like, so that there's a particular swamp that the swamp and the island are my two favorite like land arts. There's also many other art lands that I really enjoy, but apparently people really love the Mark Pool, quote unquote. They're called the Shooting Star lands that were released in the last Commander precons. Well, because there wasn't very many of those lands printed because they're just Commander precons, people were like wanting more of those. So they're actually creating a product. They're making Shooting Star Lands gift pack, foil Mark Pool Shooting Star Lands in this set. So you get, like, I don't know, however many of each, like five each or something like that, of this particular art for each, and he did one for each of the colors. And in this, also in this product, you're also getting a special art Metalwork Colossus and a special art Kari Zev, and you get three boosters.
So this is just like a standalone thing?
Standalone thing. Like a random, like, they're making it to release these lands, basically, because people are, I guess, clamoring for them, apparently. Again, three boosters. I think it's gonna be like three different ones. Kind of like if you like bought a starter deck, it's gonna be like Kaladesh, it's gonna be Amonkhet, and like one other. Like, they're gonna be, you know, there'll be three different ones.
Gotcha.
And this product is gonna be $20. I know I'm not buying it. I don't give a fuck about the Mark Pool lands. Like, yes, some of the arts are pretty cool. I think actually that swamp. I think the swamp that has like the crook in it that we like. It's just a small, like, it's a dark swamp, Starry Night behind it, and it's like one like plant like crook in the front of it. It's hard to describe. I think you've seen it. I think
does
that's
the tree
one of the
lands. Have like a little fucking.
There's no real tree. It's like swamp, like what are those fucking called in swamps? Like the cattails kind of.
Pussy willows,
kind of that kind of thing. So it's like, I think it's like that. Like, I don't know. I'll show you the card eventually. I have one of the arts. I see it was Mark Pool. Anyways, whatever. People are crying for these lands. Magic is listening and saying, okay, if you really want these lands that you're fucking crying for, here's a product you can buy these specific lands for.
Dude,
good for you. Whatever.
I don't give a shit about it, but I hope that this gets them closer to making the tokens anthology.
I know,
that we had talked about before. That is just. Fuck, that's such
That is one of the best things they did, was in the Amonkhet Fat Packs, is giving us a token pack with all the tokens. I mean, that was amazing. That was out of nowhere for me. Like, I didn't picture Wizards carrying up or thinking, like, this is a good idea, and actually giving us that for the same price and everything, not up to price and shit,
right,
just some tokens. But that was fantastic. So, yeah, that's what got us in the discussion of the token anthology, and, like, that would be, I think, a fantastic idea. I would love to buy that.
Well, I mean, next time Morrow stops by, we'll have to tell him, because I don't think he, even though he stops by on the podcast from time to time, I don't think he necessarily listens to the episode. So we'll have to give a little whisper in his ear next time we see him. But as for that, I think this is going to wrap up this episode of If Lands Could Kill. Go ahead and look for us on all the usual places, iTunes, MTG Cast. I think we're going to be featured on a new website here pretty soon. Hopefully you're listening to us right now on it. That is all the
information.
That is all the information I can give you at this point in time. And all our information is in the show notes. If you want to get a hold of us, send us an email, iflandscouldkill@gmail.com, or go to our website, and you can contact us there. Or the best, most direct way to get to us is just talk to us on Twitter. We are on Twitter fucking all day.
That's where we all get, you know, notifications on our phone when somebody tweets at us or something happens. So if you want to talk to us, we will answer you.
Most promise. People are surprised how fast I get back to them.
Yeah, me too.
Whether it's a private message or just like, you know,
It's like, we're just normal people. We're not like some famous celebrity asshole. Like, you don't have to be scared to talk to us. Don't be a pussy. Fucking talk shit to us. We're just like you, asshole.
Except we're better.
Yeah, that's
true. So anyways, that's gonna wrap it up. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
And we'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Sriracha was here too.
Sriracha, the sweetest of the sauces. So now all your loud noises.
Oh my god, so we almost recorded incorrectly?
Almost? Yeah. Almost. Jesus
Christ.
Almost.
I would have fucked it up again.
He's a jerk off, dude. This guy right here.
You guys are real jerk.
Where's that audio degree, dude?
Fucking
where's it at?
Smoke that shit. I rolled it up and smoked it. So these guys are my work. Kind of fucking idiots. First of all, most of them are like younger, you know.
Well, it's because you're old, so everybody's
yeah, it's because
like,
yeah, I'm so old. But like this
and
guy,
bald, fat,
kind this of guy's sort of and just
weird,
saggy,
disappointed with the way your life has been,
sad,
yeah,
shapeless, mushy body,
yeah,
like a
Rush,
sack,
like Rush Limbaugh,
like a sack of mashed potatoes.
Right,
God,
have you ever seen that before?
Yeah,
yeah, he's person form. You've only seen it in there.
Rush Limbaugh?
No, sack of mashed potatoes.
That's
like
the only.
That?
That's the only way I eat mashed potatoes.
Is it in a sack,
big Ziploc bag.
Yeah, exactly. I take it to the movie theater, and I like it because
you just put your hand right in it.
Yeah, no. I cut the corner.
And you squeeze it in your mouth
like it's
fuck the bag.
Like it's a
like
cake.
You're doing a pastry.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
You fucking cut
okay,
it and you
okay.
Squirt it in your mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you squirt it on your finger and you lick your finger a lot.
God.
You're like squirt a little bit. Little dip on
it,
and you're like.
Do you offer it to little children?
I put it on a saltine cracker. And then it's a
lick
perfect.
But you lick it off the cracker and reuse the cracker forever.
Yeah.
So it's just like really soggy cracker after the end of the night. It's like, can't keep its rigidity anymore. You just like, all right, just reuse it. Oh, reuse it. Yep. This is it.
It's like Oreo, the sides on Oreos, but I don't care about the sides. I just want the delicious creamy center.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you get all the Oreos, you scoop them off, you put them in that same bag with the mashed potatoes. It's all white anyways.
Yeah. And eventually, you just leave it in there long enough, they add
become
to
one.
The mashed potatoes.
They become one.
Yeah, they enter in a marriage of mashed potatoes and crackers.
Mm-hmm.
This is profound.
Okay.
You have a special case for your one saltine cracker that you've been using for years and years. And you have your bag of mashed potatoes with the cream from Oreos and whatever. You cut the corner off. And you're pushing it, and you're like, all right, here we go. And you have, like, this little tiny...
It's still like a silver
it's a
tin.
It's a little silver tin. Yeah, it's like Altoids
it's
tin
like
or something
fancy,
like that.
Though.
Well, but it's fancy. It's got it's an Altoids tin, but it has, like, little fake diamonds on it.
And it has, like, my initials engraved on it.
Yeah.
So it's like a rapper's chalice. Like how they have those giant mugs for no reason. They have all gold jewelry all over it.
It's really cheap jewelry. It's, like, only from 25-cent
rappers,
machines.
Yeah, those
and a hot glue gun all over it, except for you did have to pay, like, $40 to get professionally engraved.
But they messed it up, so I just scratched it out and did my own engraving.
Yeah, and you put, like, you know, fucking whole potatoes suck. You know, you're like, yeah, fucking whole unpeeled, unsalted potatoes, garbage.
No,
garbage.
I put mashed for life.
Mashed for life.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a mashed queen. You're only into fucking mashed. Mashed queen is what it says, right? With a fucking crown on it or
no,
a female
it's,
crown?
It's the monster mash is what it is.
So where does the monsters come into play?
No, I'm the monster because I devour the mash thoroughly.
He's the mashed potato monster.
Yeah.
Compared to the cookie monster.
Yeah.
But you kind of killed him off because now you got cookies in the mash as well.
Well, when I enter the movie theater, they start playing that song.
To the monster mash.
The monster mash. And then I start...
To the graveyard bash.
And then I start strutting and I have a, like the beer helmets... Except there's mashed potatoes on each side.
And then the cracker comes to life and dances with you.
Yeah.
Because the cracker's like your buddy. He's been there for like 20 years.
Yeah. Like the California Raisins?
It's like the California Raisins. It's exactly like that. In the beginning of the movie, like it's like the popcorn coming to life, and it's like, come to the snack bar. Da,
yeah.
Da, da, da. And that's what it is. But it's the fucking cracker, and it's you with mashed potato helmet.
And then, yeah, and then he's like next to me, and then he comes to life, and he like kind of sits down provocatively and spreads his legs. He's like... Oh, yeah, put that mash in there. And then I lick it off.
Lick it clean.
And then I enjoy...
And then you put it back in the tin.
Yeah.
And you're like, this was a good night.
Yeah, and then I enjoy my Pixar movie. And...
It was during Up. Right when the person died, the wife died, right?
Like in the movie.
Yeah.
Which was weird because the tears went into the mash and it made it a little saltier.
Extra salty, yeah. Yeah. You licked all the crackers all dry for years.
We haven't even talked about how you spiced it. Like, is it seasoned salt in the mashed potatoes? Butter?
No, actually, there's
nice and simple.
There's
it's literally just like you just mash fucking potatoes uncooked.
Yeah,
no butter,
no moisture,
no moisture at all.
Yeah,
just dry.
So it's almost like
lumpy
sand.
It's like sand. It is like sand. You know when you get like a fucking potato wedge and you squeeze out the guts of it? It's just like sandy mashed potato shit. Like, yeah. No flavor to it at all.
It's not like sand, but it's like the clumps of dirt. You know, like a dirt clod.
It's a dirt clod.
Yeah. But when you put enough pressure, when you're squeezing it through the package, it turns into
so
the
potato,
sand.
So potato diamonds.
So it feels like a boob.
Potato diamonds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get mashed potatoes under great, great forces, and then the carbon and the potatoes and everything, like they mash and they create potato diamonds.
And that's why I'm so rich.
And that's why you're so rich. That's how you afforded the cracker in the first place. And the tin. It's all a big cycle.
Yeah.
So how's that cracker doing anyways right now? Like, where is it at?
You know what?
Safe place? Is it in the fucking safe right now? Fireproof safe?
He passed away a couple weeks ago.
Do not lie. That guy's a turnip.
I accidentally took a bite out of him.
Don't you dare.
And he passed.
You could never, dude, you could never make that mistake.
Yeah.
And you can only make that mistake once.
I had to send away in the saltines sweepstakes.
Did you recover it from your stool?
No,
it
was
hook up to the Frankenstein machine and the electricity you go to.
We have the technology.
I put my stool in the bag, and that didn't seem to help. But I had to send away the saltine sweepstakes for another saltine cracker, and it's not the same. You know, he has a different personality. He's always like turning around, like put the mash on my backside. I'm like, dude, don't be gross. I'm trying to fucking
have my
mashed potato diamonds snack in the movie theater while I'm watching the new Smurfs movie, and you're really just disturbing everyone around you.
I just realized that the diamonds on your fancy tin are from mashed potatoes themselves. It's amazing.
Yeah, you dry
full cycle.
Yeah. You dry them out, and just a little buff, slight buffing, and they just shine.
Like with a
like a self-sustaining ecosystem.
That's exactly my words I was looking for.
Yeah,
exactly the words.
And when the usher comes around and flashes the light, it ricochets off the potato diamonds, and
it's like a prism.
Yeah,
like a rainbow comes right back at them.
Exactly,
and
then everyone in the movie theater starts clapping, and they're like, "Yay, potato diamonds!"
That was the ending to Up. What you just did right there, like that had to happen. You did the ending, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, I stole the idea from Up because it's all about
from you.
It's like multiverse shit. Like, you know, he had to create this thing so that they could have created the movie. This is like a whole circle. Like, the new movie never would have been invented.
The chicken and the egg.
Right. It's like the movie never would have been made had you not created the mashed potato bag, the diamonds, the tin.
Who wouldn't know
the fucking usher comes out? You know,
yeah,
all this shit.
Instead of the chicken and the egg, it's the potato and the famine.
Right. So now that you discovered that you created the universe, what did you do with yourself?
I got really tired. And
plot to take in.
And then some
potatoes and like you discovered life. You created life. That's crazy.
Dude, there's a fucking day of rest, okay? That do you think like this just all sprang out of nowhere? No. Do you know how many a lot of potatoes had to die for this next part?
Well, now I'm sad.
Yeah. And a lot of potatoes had to die, and then this Jimmy Fallon came in and he was like, "Welcome to another episode of If Lance Could Kill, I'm Knife City."
So true. This is